Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by John Elway Auto Nation. A Littleton man accused of murdering his wife is expected to be brought back to Colorado as soon as today. 42-year-old Gregory Parker is scheduled to be arraigned in New Mexico, where he was arrested by state troopers on Sunday in connection with the death of his wife, 42-year-old Barbara Parker. Police Sergeant Sean Dugan says once the arraignment is complete, Parker, who has confessed to the crime, should be heading north.
We do not anticipate him to fight extradition, and we will be transporting Mr. Parker back with the assistance of the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department. Deputies from that department will be traveling to New Mexico to bring Mr. Parker back to the state, and he'll be held at the Arapahoe County Detention Facility.
Dugan says once Gregory Parker returns to Colorado, he'll be greeted by first-degree murder charges. Officers believe that Parker killed his wife sometime Saturday nights. Meanwhile, Dugan says a memorial service for Barbara Parker has been set for 11 on Friday morning at the Columbine United Church, 5900 South Platte Canyon Drive in Littleton. Governor Bill Owen says that if lawmakers don't come up with a good compromise regarding the fiscal problems in the state, the voters may come up with their own plan in November that won't fix the problems. Owens has called for a financial summit with lawmakers to discuss the financial problems and what can be done. Lawmakers are restricted with what they can do with the budget by the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, known as Tabor, and by Amendment 23. Republicans are working to protect Tabor, while the Democrats are fighting to keep Amendment 23. Patrick Ahlstrom, who has a long public service career, has been named Federal Security Director for the Transportation Security Administration at Denver International Airport. Ahlstrom had been the Deputy Federal Security Director at DIA since July 2002 and was a leader in federalizing the security operations at the nation's fifth busiest airport. Today's pleasant weather will be with us through tomorrow evening, according to Scott Entrekin of the National Weather Service.
Pretty good ridge of high pressure that's building over the state today, and that'll continue through tomorrow. So we'll see some warm temperatures today, and especially on Wednesday. Readings could be well into the 60s.
Entrekin says to enjoy the warm weather while you can, because there is a storm on the way from the Pacific that will dump some snow on us starting Thursday. Democratic presidential candidates pinning their hopes on the result of today's primary in Wisconsin. Frontrunner Senator John Kerry is favored to win, as he's done in 14 of 16 state contests so far. At a union rally in Milwaukee, the Massachusetts senator questioned President Bush's stewardship of the economy.
And this president has been the worst president for jobs in this country since Herbert Hoover and the Great Depression.
Kerry's rivals, Senator John Edwards and former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, are hoping to slow Kerry's surge ahead of the March 2nd round of contests. Edwards also says he has the money to compete into March. Wedding bells are still ringing on same-sex marriages in San Francisco while the legality is being hashed out in court. Joel Kamischer reports.
The ceremonies are still being performed across the street from the courtroom, where the lawyers are going at it, trying to decide if those marriages will be valid. Gil Weinbar made it official after 25 years with his partner, and he's not worried about the long-term consequences.
Well, we'll have a license, and we will have stood here in City Hall for at least one day. It was legal.
And so far, over 2,500 couples have had the ceremony performed. Joel Kamischer, San Francisco.
Secretary of State Colin Powell says the U.S. is still on track to transfer governing authority to the Iraqis by June 30th. Outside the State Department, Powell said it will be necessary to hand governing authority to an interim government.
Well, what we're talking about is an interim government to whom sovereignty will be transferred until such time as you can have a full constitution in place and that you can have a full election, which nobody believes is possible by June.
Religious Shiites are demanding an Islamic constitution for Iraq, something the U.S. opposes. Paul Bremer, the U.S. administrator for Iraq, has threatened to veto such a constitution. The actress, best known as Madge from the Palmolive commercials, is dead. 86-year-old Jan Miner died in Bethel, Connecticut. The New York Times cites her agent as saying Miner had been in failing health for several years. Stocks higher heading into the last 2 hours of today's trading session. The Dow is up nearly 78 points, the NASDAQ up almost 25, and the S&P 500 up almost 11. In sports, the Denver Nuggets get back to work after they break for the All-Star game. Nuggets welcome the Philadelphia 76ers to the Pepsi Center. Nuggets beat Philadelphia when they last met in December. Colorado Avalanche off tonight. They're getting ready to play host to the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow night. Last night, the Avs lost 1-0 to the Vancouver Canucks. At the John Elway Service Centers, the job is done right the first time at a competitive price. Plus, they have the right tires at the right price. price, all in stock now. John Elway Service Centers, they're the experts, honest. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
What the devil is that gosling noise?
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hello from the road, folks. Thanks to Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels, I've been earning double Easy Choice stamps toward nights or double airline miles toward flights. Either way, these rewards add up quicker than snapshots in the photo album. Just call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com for details. We'll see you there.
Earn 2 stamps per night, maximum of 10 stamps per stay, or double airline miles credits for qualifying stays between 2:12 and 4:30:04. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
Is now a good time to sell my house? How much can I get for it? Do I have to leave the house when people look at it? Should I hide the stuffed moose head?
Coldwell Banker received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for the highest overall satisfaction for first-time home sellers among national full-service real estate firms. So let us help you. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by NRT Incorporated. For J.D. Power & Associates Award information, visit jdpower.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by the All About Kids Expo and just a busy drive. Latest problem is going to be on Colfax right around Kalamath. It sounds like car versus light rail. Doesn't sound like there's injuries, but that'll be a real mess on Colfax. Injury accidents northbound I-25 at the Thornton Parkway, as well as an injury accident Alameda and Sheridan. People may be trapped there. Got a stalled truck, Bellevue at I-25, Wadsworth at 8th, a broken water main. All About Kids Expo is this Saturday and Sunday at the Convention Center. Over 80 booths of activities and fun, live entertainment, a petting zoo, pony rides, and more. All About Kids this weekend. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Enid Goldstein, the Annie Rush, next on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun out there for today. High pressure dominating, high of 54. Later on tonight, mostly clear, down to 34. And for tomorrow, more sun than clouds and 66. But for Thursday, those clouds roll in. Scattered morning rain and snow showers, with just snow showers in the afternoon, highs in mid-40s. Those are afternoon highs, though. Temperatures falling throughout the day. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We have a wonderful guest later in the broadcast in the 2 o'clock hour, Richard Florida. The reason I think he's so good is that his book has had an enormous impact on cities around the country. Memphis, I think even Denver, I think John Hickenlooper is a big fan of his. The book is called The Rise of the Creative Class, How It's Transforming Work, Leisure, Community, and Everyday Life. In other words, because we are so involved in creative enterprises in this country, we're trying to attract creative workers. And if cities become magnets for attracting creative workers, the kind of place where you can go get a latte, the kind of place that has good art museums, the kind of place that has good cultural enterprises and so on, then you attract the kind of worker that in turn attracts the kind of creative industry that cities around the country are competing with. So here is Richard Florida having an enormous impact on the discussion of what makes communities magnets of this kind, what causes a creative community, the rise of the creative class. He'll be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour, and I've been looking forward to having him on. He's very well known and has, as I said, has had an enormous impact on cities around the country. Cities like Memphis, for example, where they're trying to preserve downtown. The things that we have done here in Denver, a long time ago, I don't know if you recall, but during the 60s, urban renewal was the big craze, and everything that looked remotely old was smacked down, ripped down. And you had the foresight here in Denver, and Dana Crawford, I think, led the charge of saving these old buildings and valuing them. And if you had torn everything down in Denver, there would not be Lodo as we know it. It would have a whole different character if it even existed in the same way. The fact that there are all these great old buildings, many of them turned into lofts, others into businesses, a vital downtown has been fabulous for Denver. And I don't think it was an easy thing to accomplish at the time because I don't think the mindset realized what an asset that could be. So here I am. I trotted into town a couple of years ago, I think a year and a half, year and three quarters ago, and I see this wonderful downtown with these old buildings preserved, a whole downtown that you can actually walk, that there's a nightlife you can walk to, that the office, you can, you know, you walk from the office to nightlife to restaurants to shops. There's the mall. There are these great old buildings that have preserved. I think we are so lucky here in Denver to have had that kind of foresight. Many cities weren't so smart. They tore everything down. Now they look like homogenized, mid-century boxy kind of design. And the character and the history has been lost. So we'll be talking with Richard Florida later. Later in the month, upcoming guests are going to include Ellen Goodman, the columnist, and author John Dunning, whom those of you in Denver know a lot about. We've had him on before at the Press Club. He has a brand new book coming out. I want to start with some health information. First of all, I heard about this story and I thought it was just amazing. There is a concoction. It's an herbal concoction called Green Hornet. And it has sent a bunch of Colorado teenagers, four of them, to the hospital over the weekend. It's apparently legal. I guess you can get it in a lot of places, but it's not safe, according to doctors. The potion claims in advertising to be herbal ecstasy, though the listed ingredients read straight off a health food store's shelves. And this is from the Denver Post. Here's what is included in Green Hornet: vitamin C, guarana, whatever that is, ginseng, vitamin B2, vitamin B3. There's also caffeine, licorice, and wild Amazon berry extract. It's kind of like chocolate, said a 21-year-old who says he's had it. But in any event, this can be tough stuff. It's like taking an amphetamine. Some of the effects could be similar to consuming a lot of caffeine, but you typically don't see people hallucinating going to Starbucks. So I guess you can have some really bad effects. And four kids got sent to the ER over the weekend having taken Green Hornet. A 16-ounce bottle sells for about $45. These kids drank it at a motel over the weekend. They were later rushed to the hospital. An ER physician told police that the boys were suffering from life-threatening conditions, which included excessive heart rates, seizures, severe body rashes, and high blood pressure. The case is the first serious medical problem with the Green Hornet that has apparently been recorded in Colorado. Be careful with it. Apparently the effects are a bit like ephedra, which has been banned. So stay away from Green Hornet. You kids who think you're doing something really smart, don't even go there. Life, I think, presents you with enough of a high, forget about herbal ecstasy. And there's a new study out linking the use of antibiotics with a higher risk of breast cancer. And let me just give you the highlights of it. Antibiotic use, is associated with an increased risk for breast cancer, according to a new study, raising the possibility that women who take the widely used medicines are prone to one of the most feared malignancies. The first of its kind study of more than 10,000 Washington State women concluded that women who used the most antibiotics had double the chance of being stricken with breast cancer. I would like to offer my wholly unscientific view of why this might be, if in fact there is the link, and it's something to look at. I don't think they've actually established a link. At least that's not, according to the CNN report I heard by Dr. Gupta, no link has been established, but it's something to look at. If you are taking an antibiotic, what does it mean? It means that maybe your immune system has not fully been able to fight off whatever the creps is that you happen to have come down with. So it tells us something about your immune system at that moment, that your immune system is maybe a bit compromised at that time, and so you need antibiotics to fight off whatever you're going through. Or it's possible that when the antibiotics take over, the immune system isn't as functioning. I don't know how that all works, but I think it has more to do with the state of your immune system than it might with the fact that you're taking antibiotics. That's just my wholly unscientific, wholly uneducated guess. But if you're on antibiotics, it means you've got something going on that your own system has not fought off. And it would make it more likely, because I think your system is always encountering conditions that could cause cancer. And if your immune system is working well, you can fight that stuff off more easily. But if your immune system is compromised because you've got one condition or another, it may mean that in addition to having to take an antibiotic, it may also mean that your system is compromised to the extent that cancer now has more of an open door. That would just be what I would conclude. It's funny that nobody ever comes to the same conclusions that I do when I see this medical information. Just a thought. All right, Larry Flint, peddling an old story. First of all, we know that the Drudge Report, that story that Drudge, somebody else refers to him, Dredge, was trying to peddle about John Kerry having an extramarital affair. That is going nowhere. Nothing is happening with that story. The woman in question has denied it. He has categorically and emphatically denied it. John Kerry has. And absent any other information, that's it. That story is history for the moment. But there was a story that circulated around 2000, right before the last presidential election. Larry Flint, who has called himself a patriot and spent a lot of money on private investigators, came up with a story where George W. Dickey Bush was involved with an illegal abortion, or at least he thought so. And he pretty much nailed it, except that the woman in question refused to go forward with it. So let me give you the latest on that. On CNN's Crossfire in October of 2000, so about a month before the election, and I interviewed Larry Flint at that time when the story was swirling about, Larry Flint exploded a bombshell that he had evidence that George W. Dickey Bush was involved in an abortion in Texas in the early 1970s when abortions were still illegal. They were not yet legal. Here are the details. That in the winter of 1971, George W. Dickey Bush was dating a woman named Robin Lohman, now named Robin Garner. Ms. Lohman became pregnant by somebody else apparently, and he arranged for her to have an abortion, which was illegal. The unnamed source of the story, she was pregnant by George W. Dickey Bush, sorry, and that he arranged for her to have an abortion. They refer to him as Smirk, but I guess that's what they mean. The unnamed source of the story was a friend of Robin Lohman's and the girlfriend of the man who arranged the abortion. His name is Robin Carl Chandler. Chandler is a Bush friend and supporter from way back, and he made the arrangements for Ms. Lohman's abortion at the 12 Oaks Hospital in Houston, Texas, now called the Bayou City Medical Center. The source overheard the call by Mr. Chandler to arrange the abortion, and the source visited Robin Lohman at the 12 Oaks Hospital after the procedure occurred. The source, meanwhile, is afraid of coming forward, saying that she was threatened by Chandler and another Bush friend and a supporter named Jim Bath. Bath has longstanding intelligence connections and played a role in the BCCI scandal. Robin Lohman, now Garner, is married to Jerry Lee Garner, who is an FBI agent. So that's the story, an illegal backroom abortion arranged by the Republican Party presidential candidate who is running on a pro-life ticket. That was what Larry Flint has alleged. Now, almost 4 years later, he says he plans to market the Bush abortion story as genuine in a book to be published this summer by Kensington Press. The story has got to come out, he says. There's a lot of hypocrisy in the White House about this whole abortion issue. Flint claimed that Bush arranged for the abortion in the early 70s. I've talked to the woman's friends, Flint said. I've tracked down the doctor who did the abortion. I tracked down the Bush people who arranged for the abortion. I've got the story nailed, says Larry Flint. Flint would not disclose whether he plans to name the woman. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie, who in a speech last week accused Kerry campaign supporters of hatching this whole thing, was unavailable for comment on Flint's charges. But an RNC spokesperson said that Democrats will do anything in this election, judging by their campaign tactics, to smear without any evidence or background. This is just another of those cases. What do you think about that allegation? Is it fair game? Is the president fair game? These are allegations that were swirling around George W. Bush before the last presidential election. Now, I don't know if you recall Bob Barr from Georgia at the time of the Clinton impeachment. Bob Barr, Mr. Pro-Life, got up there waggling his moralistic finger in Clinton's face practically on the matter of Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. And it turns out that Bob Barr, many, many times married Bob Barr, had a new girlfriend in the wings, had a current wife at the time who was pregnant, and apparently paid for an abortion. And here he is, a real pro-life kind of guy. I think that this hypocrisy ought to be exposed, if it's true. If it's a fake story, forget it. But if there's truth to it, and Flint seems like he's nailed it down, he says he can name names. And for some reason, I believe him, even though he is the publisher of Hustler magazine, as cheesy as it gets. I kind of believe that he's nailed it down. Is this a fair story? If you are parading, for example, Governor Bill Owens, parading himself as a family values guy, and then he's engaged in a trial separation. When the announcement is made that he and his wife, after nearly 30 years of marriage, are separating, there's never an announcement that says no other people were involved, which I thought was a curious omission. Why didn't they say? And why did they say that? Why didn't they say that? If nobody was involved, why didn't they state that when the separation was announced? And so, one of the media critics on the Rocky Mountain News has made the observation that a guy who runs on family values, that a legitimate question for him when he and his wife separate after 30 years is, was there somebody else involved? Was any adultery involved in this separation? Nobody, as far as I know, has asked that question publicly, though I have encountered reporters here and there who maintain that they have asked that question privately of the governor. It's never been a story in the newspaper. But my question is it a legitimate story if you are a family values guy, like Governor Owen says, if you are running on pro-life platform, as President George W. Dickey Bush is, to find out whether hypocrisy is involved? In other words, was he involved in arranging for an abortion early on? 303-382-1150. Is that a legitimate question to ask? Let's go to the phones and to Pam in Englewood. Hi, Pam. You're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
Appreciate you taking my call. First-time caller, but I've listened to you quite frequently.
Wait a minute. We have something for you. Hang on. There you go.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you if you could not refer to President Bush as Dickie.
Why?
It's offensive.
Why? Is it offensive to call Dick Cheney Dickie?
I think it's offensive to call anyone names regardless of how you feel about that person. And it's unfair for me to have to listen to it on the radio, and I do like to listen to what you have to say, but the name calling really needs to stop with everyone.
Don't you think that, well, is it unfair to call Dick Cheney Dick?
Well, that's his name, Dick.
Right. Don't you think it's a more apt description of our president?
No.
Oh. Well, I think in that case you and I disagree.
Yeah, he is our president, and regardless of how we feel about him, we should show him some respect.
Well, he hasn't told the truth, so should I change his name to George W. Liar President?
No, and I don't appreciate that referral either. I don't like to hear those kinds of name-calling on the radio. I would prefer to hear something that's useful to the American people.
Well, I like to think that we provide that service here on a daily basis, a lot of useful information.
You do, but it doesn't need to be said with reference to name-calling.
All right, Pam, I thank you for the call. Do you agree with Pam? Pam thinks I shouldn't call President George W. Dickey Bush Dickey anymore. I think it's a more apt description, to tell you the truth, but some people are offended by it. What do you think? 303-382-1150. Kevin, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid, I want to agree with your last caller. I don't think you should call him Dickey anymore.
You don't?
I think maybe it would be more appropriate if you called him something like His Evil Highness, or maybe That Lying Scumbag Bastard. How about something like that?
Thank you, Kevin. 303-382-1150. The lines are full, but there is one line open. 303-382-1150. Grab it. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
My neighbor stopped by my house this afternoon and asked if I had any basil.
Unbelievable. I've been trying to find a house and a mortgage.
And she thinks I can drop everything to concentrate on dried leaves?
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage makes buying a home less stressful, and our family of companies can also handle your mortgage with a competitive rate and quick decision. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, Matthew.
Tell me what the future holds.
Ah, good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
Management at AM 1150 KNRC have been listening to the Enid Goldstein Show played backwards, looking for hidden subliminal messages. Here's what they found.
George Bush is a great president.
Not what we expected. Find out Enid's view for yourself weekdays at 12 noon on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Mike Reagan. Join me weeknights at 6 p.m. as Denver's Best Afternoon and Early Evening Talk continues exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1226 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock right here on AM 1150 KNRC. The lines are full. Let's go right to the phones and to Adam and Centennial. Hi, Adam. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
Good. And for people just tuning in, Pam called in, and she doesn't think that I should call George W. Dickie Bush Dickie anymore. She thinks that's disrespectful. What do you think, Adam?
You know, Enid, I think you're paying him a compliment. The Republicans for years have done this. Look what they did to Clinton. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Is this lady for real?
Well, they crucified Clinton in a horrible way. What did they call Clinton? I don't remember all the names they called him.
Well,
besides the obvious, like scumbag and stuff like that.
Oh, I mean, they accused him of murder. I mean, Hillary gets called names. I mean, these are people who have been leaders in this country and have attempted to do good things for people. I mean, in 93, the health care thing. Hillary,
and they even called Chelsea a dog, or they held up a picture of Chelsea and made fun of her looks. I remember Rush did that. I don't know if he was still on drugs or not.
Well, I have a message for Pam. You know, this president is an S.O.B., in every sense of the word. He has lied, he has cheated, and I guarantee you they're going to do everything they can to steal this election, just like Nixon did in 72. So, Pam, I got news for you, honey. It's only going to get worse.
Thank you, Adam. 303-382-1150. Eric calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. I heard that lady say that it's not fair that she has to hurry here name-calling on the radio. Well, I don't think it's fair that we have a president that lies to us, you know? I don't think it's fair that we went over and killed a bunch of Iraqis for no reason. I mean, I don't think it's fair that there's a deficit. I don't think it's fair that there's a national debt that's over $1 trillion. I don't think it's fair that people are dying of hunger every day in the United States. I don't think it's fair that there's no health care for people who can't afford it. I don't think it's fair a lot of things. I think that if she's upset that she's hearing name-calling on the radio, her priorities are completely out of whack. There's so many things that aren't fair. To hear somebody say the word Dickie on the radio and complain about it, I think that's pretty small potatoes. That's pretty small-minded to have such a hang-up about language like that. There's a lot of things that aren't fair, but, you know, having to hear the word Dickie or see, like, you know, Janet Jackson's breast on TV, I mean, come on. fairness? I mean, that's ridiculous to even equate that with fairness. You know?
Thank you, Eric. Excellent litany. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. That opens up a line. 303-382-1150. Pam says, I should not call the president Dickie, that it's disrespectful. I think it's an apt description of him. And I was on Fox TV News right before I went to Venice a couple of weeks ago. It's the network, not Fox 31 local, but Fox News, the Fox News channel. And there's a show hosted by former Ohio Congressman John Kasich called Heartland. And I was a guest up against conservative talk host Mike Gallagher. And we were talking about the Iowa caucuses. And the name Dick Gebhardt came up. And I said, we already have one Dick in the White House. I should have clarified. I really meant Cheney. But the Fox audience was, you know, although I don't deny for a second what I call George W., which is George W. Dickie Bush, and then I could say there are two dicks running the White House. But my audience is a far more tolerant audience. The Fox audience don't ask. I got from viewers around the country, I got emails like you couldn't believe. Some of them very positive, but many of them harshly negative. And not just negative, I disagree with you, it's disrespectful to call the president that, but I mean horrible to me personally. You can't believe it. They were chastising me for being rude. They couldn't have been more rude to me, which is, it's like the thief who thinks everybody else is out to steal. AJ on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, AJ.
I think the hypocrisy you really should be talking about is the journalistic hypocrisy that puts this story on the air with no substantiation, puts all of the Bush AWOL stuff on the air. For a week and a half you lived on that story, but didn't once mention John Kerry's little dalliance, which I don't think is news.
AJ, I mentioned John Kerry's, the whole Drudge Report on John Kerry. I spent a whole show on it. Where were you?
Oh, that must have been the day I wasn't listening.
Well, I guess you better just listen more closely
because I talked about it.
And as far as the AWOL stuff is concerned, the Washington Post, front page story today, lots more information on Bush's activities, but no more answers. So the AWOL question is still out there, and they haven't provided any substantiation that Bush turned up in Alabama.
Yeah, they have, actually.
No, they haven't. Go read the Washington Post today.
Washington Post, letter to the editor last Thursday.
Not letter to the editor, not last Thursday, right now. They did a document dump on Friday. They released his dental records. They released all this new information, and none of it clears up whether he was in Alabama. It's just more information, but none of it sufficiently pertinent to answer the question.
Except for the eyewitness testimony of two of his flymates who were with him in Alabama, who said he didn't fly in Alabama because he was at a desk job.
He was grounded, and we don't know why he refused to take a physical.
Enid, he didn't need to take a physical.
Oh, well, we don't know that for sure, AJ.
Yeah,
but
how the National Guard works, you don't transfer to a fly.
Darling, here's what I think you should be doing. I think you should read today's Washington Post and listen to my show so that you really know what you're talking about. Inform yourself, arm yourself before you come on the air like this, and then let's talk, AJ. 303-382-1150. Rob calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Rob.
A couple callers ago, Eric brought out and you termed it a litany, and I would just like to look at a few facts. What would Bush lie about again?
What hasn't he lied about would be the shorter list. Well, he's lied about the deficits, for example. He lied about weapons of mass destruction.
He lied about
Iraq trying to. Excuse me. Did you ask me a question? Let me answer the question. He lied about Iraq trying to buy enriched uranium in Niger. I mean, those are three pretty big lies, and that's just only the beginning of a litany. So now, what is your point, Rob?
My point is, if you look at facts, and even the enriched uranium, the yellow cake, there's a report that came into a port in the, I can't remember the country, but in...
Yes, I didn't think that you would be able to. 303-382-1150. Matt, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I just wanted to comment on when I saw the Larry Flint report, and a lot of people, I think, are going to probably dismiss it because, oh, Larry Flint's a smut peddler. But lest we forget, his Flint report, which exposed the hypocrisy of all the Republican congressmen, I have to tell you, you know, to use one of your words, think this is quite juicy. And I think that this is something, and again, the only reason why it matters is because if you put yourself in a particular light, that you're against abortion, that you want to prevent people from getting abortions or a family values person. That's when it matters. It doesn't matter for Bill Clinton or John Kerry because neither of them ran on that sort of campaign.
Well, wait a minute. You jog my memory here, Matt. It was Larry Flint who actually came forward with reports about Bob Livingston, I believe,
right.
Who was scheduled to become, what was it, Speaker of the House or something?
That's right.
And that he had had a lot of extramarital affairs, and in the wake of that, Livingston was forced into resigning. He then turned right around and got an extremely much higher paying job as a lobbyist, but that the Flint information actually caused him to resign. And was Flint responsible for the information exposing Bob Barr for having paid for an abortion?
He was. It was a whole book, and I purchased it and I read through it. And also, Mr. Dan Burton of Indiana, who called Bill Clinton a scumbag on the floor of Congress,
had fathered an illegitimate child.
That's right. So I just think if Larry Flint comes up with it, and I got to tell you, I trust him. He has proven in the past that he has hard factual evidence to back up his claims. So this, I think, is a story we need to watch even more than the National Guard story.
Thanks, Matt. 303-382-1150. Art calling from the Tech Center. You're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid. Let's talk about George Bush's character. I don't know. Where do we begin? At what point in his life should we start talking about this guy? He, you know, steals the election. He doesn't show up for his training. He doesn't keep his physical up to date. You know, this guy is just, he just plays it any way he wants to. And he thinks that everybody is that stupid that they'll just go along with it.
Well, and so far, he's been right. So far, they have gone along with it, although now I think the veneer is starting to crack. Art, thank you for the call. 303.
People who work in glass radios.
Right. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a problem with you not paying attention to any facts. I mean, I know you have a lot of rhetoric, but you have very little facts that you're backing up your
rhetoric
with.
What facts are we lacking here?
Well,
and where's your position on calling George W. Dickey Bush?
I think it's
an apt description.
Well, how so? In what way?
Because I think it describes the kind of leadership that we've gotten from him.
What kind of leadership have we gotten from him?
Tell me why you called.
No, answer my question. What kind of leadership?
I think it speaks for itself.
Lies.
A lot of deception.
Lies.
Okay, tell me why you called.
Well,
what is the point that you want to make, Jim?
This is why I called, because once again, you have 99% rhetoric and 1% facts.
Well, where are the facts? What facts are lacking here?
Well,
was he honest with us on weapons of mass destruction? Was George W. Bush honest with us on the tax cuts? Was George W. Bush honest with us on enriched uranium that he said Iraq was trying to buy from Niger? Was he honest with us in those three ways? I think the answer speaks for itself. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by The Home Depot. Accusations against the University of Colorado continue to surface. Katie Nida, who was a CU Buffs place kicker in 1999, this morning issued a statement saying that she not only endured vulgar slurs from her teammates, but says she was raped by one player in his home. Colorado Governor Bill Owens has called a financial summit with lawmakers to discuss the fiscal problems in the state. The governor says if the legislature doesn't come up with a good compromise for the November voting, voters may come up with their own plan that won't fix the problems. 42-year-old Gregory Parker is scheduled to be arraigned in New Mexico today in connection with the weekend murder of his wife, Barbara, over the weekend in Littleton. According to Littleton police, Parker has confessed to the murder. He also is not expected to fight extradition and could be back in Colorado sometime today. In sports, the Denver Nuggets play host to the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. It's first game back for the Nuggets following the All-Star break over the weekend. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot At-Home Services. Visit your local store today for more info. Trust the Home Depot At-Home Services. License numbers available upon request. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein.
KNRC.
We have to talk.
In a perfect world, a daily dose of vitamins would come from a daily donut. Influenza would be a quaint Italian city, and the Sniffles would be a classic rock band. But the world isn't perfect, and that's why there's Walgreens, with vitamins, nutritional supplements, and knowledgeable pharmacists to answer questions and help you maintain as perfect health as possible. That's life. This is Walgreens.
If you have a fever, try Walgreens brand pain relievers and fever reducers. It's the brand America trusts.
Hi, folks. This is Larry King. Do you feel like you're missing out on the potential health benefits of the French paradox because you don't drink red wine every day? Well, it turns out that you may get many of the same benefits from Welch's 100% grape juice. That's because purple grape juice contains powerful antioxidants like the ones found in red wine. What's more, Welch's purple grape juice is fat-free, cholesterol-free, and certified by the American Heart Association. So forget the corkscrew. Twist open a bottle of Welch's purple grape juice. And then drink to your health.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Noodles and Company and cleaning up a couple injury accidents, northbound I-25 at Thornton Parkway, as well as Alameda and Sheridan. Still working a broken water main, Wadsworth and 8th, so watch for that. And we had a bit of a stall, Bellevue at I-25, but that should be out of there, so good news for you. It's starting to get better on southbound 225. Noodles and Company, from spicy to comforting, healthy to indulgent, there's something for everyone. Soups, salads, noodle bowls, sautéed fresh, served fresh, as you like it, in Aurora, at Islip and Peoria. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can listen to Jimmy Lakey in the mornings on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun out there for today. High pressure dominating, high of 54. Later on tonight, mostly clear, down to 34. And for tomorrow, more sun than clouds and 66. But for Thursday, those clouds roll in. Scattered morning rain and snow showers, with just snow showers in the afternoon, highs in the mid-40s. Those are afternoon highs, though. Temperatures falling throughout the day. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy skies now, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ed's Towing? Hello?
It's so simple.
Oh, my car won't start.
Just add it to your gas tank every time you fill up.
Oh, where? I don't know. Miller Road or...
Heat gas line antifreeze. It takes just seconds.
2 hours? You've got to be kidding me.
And heat prevents gas line freeze-ups all winter long for quick, easy starts.
Look, it's freezing. Can't you get here sooner?
A good thing to remember before you get stopped cold.
Please, just hurry.
Cold engines start with heat.
I'm no professional photographer, but Walgreens' new digital photo center sure makes me feel like I am. With just the touch of a screen, I can choose and edit the photos I want. I can crop them, remove red eye, and when I'm ready to print, I can also choose the size and quantity. So in almost no time, I'm walking out with premium prints at a price that's anything but premium. Just 29 cents for each 4x6. Walgreens' new digital photo center, where America takes its digital pictures.
KNRC Market Watch.
It appears Comcast will go only so far in its pursuit of Disney. Sources tell Market Watch that Comcast is unwilling to pay the current stock market price for the Magic Kingdom, which is just under $27 a share. Comcast wants $23. Disney is losing 3 cents right now. Comcast is climbing almost a dollar. AT&T Wireless continues to be the busiest stock at the big board today. After being bought by Singular for $41 billion, AT&T Wireless is adding almost $2. Singular parents, meantime, are losing. SBC is off a half dollar. Bell South is losing some 80 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gaining 86 points as we start another trading week on Wall Street. The NASDAQ is tacking on 29. And the broader index, the S&P 500, is up some 12 points at this hour. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Traffic makes us crazy.
Drive carefully.
But Darren Copeland makes the ride home just a bit easier. Keep up with the latest traffic info afternoons during the Doug Kellett Show on AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:43 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Richard Florida will be joining us a little bit later in the show, in the 2 o'clock hour. We are having a conversation because people are calling in. I have been calling George W. Dickey Bush, Dickey, for a long time, and suddenly today, Pam calls in from Englewood, I think, and she is offended by George W., by my calling him Dickey. Now, I have all these emails coming in from many of you that, let's see, here's Roy who emails and he says, where was Pam when the right wing and the religious right was calling the greatest president since Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Slick Willie, which is what I call the governor, Slick Willie Owens. And what about all the names that were, I just think that Dickey is, I'm having kind of fun with that. I just think it's a better description of George W. Bush. And certainly I think it speaks to his abilities. 303-382-1150. Let's go to Eric in Denver. Hi, Eric. You're live with Enid.
Yeah, hey, Enid. I like your show. I'm trying to listen to it as much as I can.
Thank you.
I do have a comment. And I think that cutting off people who disagree is a bad way to go. Because I personally, when I listen, I want to hear why the other side thinks the way they do. Why they justify things, how the, you know, what facts are they using, where are they getting them from. And I think if it becomes like this 30-second quick banner where both sides are talking over each other and then they're cut off, it's not, there's no value to that. You don't really learn anything. There's really nothing engaging about it. So I would just suggest that you let people dig their own holes because it's a mystery to me.
All right, now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Certainly I let Pam talk, but you have people calling in, and when you say, Give me some lessons in how you would handle this. When you say, well, Bush has lied. Okay, what has Bush lied about? Well, Bush lied about enriched uranium, that Iraq was trying to buy enriched uranium in Niger. And then the person you're talking to said, no, he didn't. I mean, where are you going to go with that?
Right.
And then you say, yeah, but yes, he did. It was in the State of the Union speech of last year. No, he didn't.
Right.
He didn't lie. Well, yes, he did lie. Where are you going to go with that?
Right.
Other than no,
well, okay,
yes, no,
right.
Yes, no, yes.
Right.
If you have some tips,
right,
on how to handle that kind of a call, I would be delighted to hear from you.
Well, okay, here's an example. The caller who was saying, he was talking about the two eyewitnesses who said they saw Bush at a desk job. My response to that would have been, okay, great. But so what? I was in the Air Force, and when you're an officer, you get officer evaluation reports. So regardless of whether you're a desk jockey or a pilot, you have a supervisor, you have a job title, and if the government has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars training you as a pilot, and you just up and decide that, I'm going to be a desk jockey now, there has to be some reason for that. That's how I would have responded to that. It's like, okay, so what? If a couple people saw him sitting at a desk, it doesn't answer the question of why.
Nobody, as far as I know, has seen him sitting at a desk in Alabama.
Yeah.
This man is quoting me a letter to the editor of the Washington Post of last week when today's front page Washington Post says that in spite of the document dump that happened on Friday after the news cycle on Friday, no questions. It's still just as murky as it was before the document dump, and no real questions have been answered, and there seems to be no real evidence so far that Bush appeared in Alabama.
Right. Well, and of course, the biggest mystery is that no supervisor seems to remember him, and there's no
evaluation
report.
Nobody has come forward to say, he was there and I worked with him. They found an old girlfriend who said he had a flight suit on, and she went out with him in Alabama when he was working on the campaign, or that she saw him in uniform, but she never actually saw him show up for his guard duty.
Right.
And nobody, as far as I am aware, has come forward to say that he was seen in Alabama. And there's been a website where there is a huge reward if you can document that he showed up, and that the website has offered the reward for quite a while now. Nobody's come forward, which is really odd.
Right. Well, and I think all of this is good discourse to know, but I think what happens is it gets into one of these situations of you say to him, come to me with the facts, don't call unless you have the facts, blah, blah, blah. But the problem is both of you guys are talking over each other, so we don't really get to hear. I want to hear where people get their stuff, and if they dig their own hole, great, because that in itself is a learning. But if you just talk over and cut them off, I think what that does, unfortunately, is it strengthens their opinion or the people that are inclined to side with them, because they're saying...
But here's what I found, Eric. Eric, you're presuming that it can be logical. It's not logical with those people. There's no way you're going to find out that they're going to give you misinformation. We'll do that. I'll take your advice to heart. But you're going to get a lot of misinformation, and the people who support them are going to support them no matter what.
Right.
And no logic is going to disabuse them of their opinion. And I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Steve on Acel. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, I'm going to send you an email link to the National Intelligence Estimate from 2002. First of all, in the State of the Union, Bush never said Niger. He said, a foreign intelligence service has learned that Iraq has tried to purchase uranium from Africa. What you'll actually see is it's specifically cited in there that the British intelligence service believes that that's what happened. You will also see,
but it was also discredited in England at that time, and our American intelligence services knew that. Steve, there was a whole chronology here. They prevented Bush from using it in a speech that occurred in Ohio just a few weeks previous to
that. They didn't discredit any of it. What they did is they said that is British intelligence. It's not ours.
They did discredit it. And then when they sent Joseph Wilson, it was clear that these were forgeries.
Okay, well, the other thing that we have as well is in our intelligence estimate, we also believe that they were trying to buy uranium from the Congo and Somalia. Apparently, you haven't seen the National Intelligence Estimate from 2002 because it clearly cites three different sources there where we believe that Iraq was trying to buy uranium.
I haven't heard about those other two, and you're going to have to send me that information, but I certainly heard about Niger, and that was discredited on the basis of very crude forgeries.
But you guys are tying the two together. If Bush said that we have documents that say that Iraq is trying to buy...
Steve, here's what's really clear about Bush. Bush and company, Bush Co., and specifically Rumsfeld in the Pentagon, where he had his own intelligence service set up to counter what the CIA...
Which led to the same conclusion as the previous...
Well, because what they were doing is cherry-picking intelligence to try to make the case for going to war, and now it is all crumbling around their feet because it's not the weapons of mass destruction, all the information that they were trying to retail to Americans in order to gather support for going to war is unraveling in their faces. It's blowing up in their faces.
Here's the important distinction that we need to make, okay? The cherry-picked intelligence that Bush saw led him to conclude that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. We all agree with that. Can you please tell me what the non-cherry-picked intelligence led the Clinton administration, the British...
I don't want to talk about the Clinton administration because it's completely irrelevant to this discussion. What we know is that you had the Pentagon setting up its own intelligence unit to discredit what the CIA was doing, and the CIA was saying there was a report that was issued 3 months before we went to war in 2002 by our intelligence service saying that most likely you will never find weapons of mass destruction. The administration did not want to see that report. They didn't want to heed it, and they didn't want that going out to the American public, Steve. So we're talking about cherry-picking the information. There's a good example of it. Jack, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, Steve's a true believer, and you'll never convince him otherwise. But the fact is that this intelligence deliberately was funneled into Cheney's office later on through defectors and some other questionable sources, was partially declassified to scare the Congress and to scare people into supporting this war. Steve knows that.
And the defectors, Chalabi and that whole group, it turns out that all of the stuff that they fed was mostly BS. It was all mostly bogus. There was a big story about it in the New York Review of Books, which I have it here someplace.
And Chalabi and those other people had an interest in this.
That's right.
They were interested in getting into the government post-Saddam.
That's right. They wanted to run Iraq.
And so Steve should realize that he's buying into a load of garbage, and I think he's just a Republican operative is what I think.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Bugging just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence from the big guys. I'm switching my internet access to ProLinks.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from 10 feet away, even with a driver.
Well, you said ProLinks, though, didn't you?
ProLinks isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLinks.
Well, that's because they're local, right here in Denver, and they don't spend billions of dollars on advertising. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the huge megapolis, but without the long hold times, poor service, and annoying Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, but is their connection fast?
Sure, their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access just for signing up.
Well, that settles it then. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get hooked up?
Just give them a call at 303-972-3218, and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Call them and mention this ad so you can be sure to get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free, and you'll be glad you did. That number again is 303-972-3218.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included, not available in all areas.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Rock Bottom Brewery downtown will be hosting their second annual Chef and Brewers Dinner to benefit the National Marfan Foundation on Tuesday, February 24th at 7 p.m. For only $50, you'll get a four-course meal, each course paired with a different beer showcasing Rock Bottom's culinary and brewing talents. For tickets and information on Rock Bottom's Chef and Brewers Dinner, Tuesday, February 24th, call 303-664-4000 or go online to rockbottom.com. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot at Home Services. Visit your local store today for more information. The Home Depot at Home Services, installation you can trust. Join our Voice at Work fraternity. If you listen to AM 1150 KNRC at work, let us know, and you'll get a goodie package, including a KNRC t-shirt. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and sign up. You listen to us on your way to work, and you listen to us on your way home. Why not get something free for listening at work? We like free, and it's a way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. Our web address, knrcradio.com.
AM 1150 KNRC. I see. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:56 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 3 o'clock. In the 2 o'clock hour, Richard Florida of Rise of the Creative Class will be joining us. Let's go right to the phones. Brad, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I was just calling to comment on Steve and the Clinton administration. You hear that all the time, and I would like to say that Clinton probably was right to keep the pressure up on Saddam Hussein, and Kerry was right to authorize the president to use force because we thought that it would be a last resort. Saddam Hussein was marginalized. We should have never went to war, but for them to throw that back in the Democrats' face is wrong.
I'm with you. I thank you for the call. 303-332-1150. And when you can't make the argument, always mention Bill Clinton's name. Bill, in Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Last caller just basically stole my thunder. The difference, Steve, the difference between Bush and Clinton is that they both got the same intelligence. They both gave it a certain amount of credibility, but Clinton wasn't stupid enough to go to war over it. Bush was.
Well, Bush had an agenda.
Yeah.
Bush was going to go to war, and he had to find the reasons for going to war. He had decided to go to war before he ever had the reasons for going to war. He had his own reasons for going. But they needed to sell it to the American public. And now the American public feels like it has been lied to. The whole reason for going to war has been unraveling in the administration's face.
And yet you will still find people who think that that particular lie is less egregious than lying about an intern.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, where are you on the issue of George W. Dickey Bush? We have some listeners here who don't like me calling him Dickey Bush.
After hearing all the things that the Walmart down the street called Clinton, it's hard to garner much much disgust over it. They said much worse things about him.
Well, I thank you for the call, Bill. There are some people, there are some friends of mine who are Democrats who don't like me calling the president a dick, but I can't help myself because I think he's acting like one. And that's a kind way of putting it. This is a man who's lied to us, who has deceived us, who probably didn't win the election fair and square, who has put lives at risk. There is a front page story in the Sunday New York Times magazine called Coming Home, The Wounded Veterans Coming Home. The stories will just break your heart as you were reading. These are people who can't sleep at night, who dive under tables if they hear a popcorn popper, any kind of a noise, who are taking all kinds of combination of medications, whose spinal cords have been severed, who have lost limbs, who had bright futures and can't get their molecules to follow, who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, who mentally have short fuses, who have come back changed, and whose lives are altered forever. And just because he could do it, he sent these people into battle, into what was not a necessary battle. This wasn't a necessary battle. And that your heart will break if you read descriptions of these people, which so far we have not seen very much of in the news media. Two more hours of Enid coming up on AM 1150 KNRC. Keep it right here. You can join the conversation, 303-382-1150. If you've never called a talk radio show before, think about doing it. It's one of life's great adventures. You might be a little bit nervous in the beginning, but that's all right. We're just talking, and your views can be heard by many more people than you will probably encounter in the whole rest of your life. You actually could affect the dialogue. I'm Enid Goldstein. Two more hours of Enid Live on
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 59 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. A U.S. Court of Appeals has upheld the Do Not Call list. The Denver court issued a 51-page order today saying the registry is valid commercial speech because, quote, it directly advances substantial governmental interests and is narrowly tailored. The registry allows consumers to register phone numbers they don't want telemarketers calling. New and disturbing accusations against the CU football program have come out. Katie Knight was a Buffs place kicker in 1999. This morning, she issued a statement through the University of New Mexico, where she's currently enrolled. Nida says she not only endured vulgar slurs from her teammates, but that she was also raped by one player in his home. She said the fear of repercussions kept her from reporting the rape at the time, but she's now coming forward, now in light of the current investigation against the Colorado football program. A committee appointed by the school's Board of Regents is looking in to see if the university uses sex and alcohol as tools to lure football recruits. Three women claim they were sexually assaulted at a CU football recruiting party in December of 2001. Meanwhile, it didn't take long for that CU panel appointed to investigate their recruiting practices to run into trouble. One of the six appointed yesterday has resigned. That after Regents learned Kenneth Vardell had administered a polygraph test to one of the players at the sex and drinking party that started the controversy. Pentecostal Bishop Philip Porter has raised another red flag. That panel member helped former CU football coach Bill McCartney launch Promise Keepers. A Littleton man accused of murdering his wife over the weekend could be back in Colorado today. 42-year-old Gregory Parker was arrested in New Mexico on Sunday and is expected that he'll be arraigned today. Littleton Police Sergeant Sean Dugan says that he expects murder charges against Parker will be filed sometime soon.
The case is going to be filed with the district attorney's office probably today, at the latest tomorrow, with the first-degree murder charges associated to that.
Dugan adds that while investigators are trying to determine a motive for the killing, they believe the killing may have been preceded by an argument. A memorial service for Barbara Parker will be held Friday morning at 11 at the Columbine United Church, 5900 South Platte Canyon Drive in Littleton. With Wisconsin's Democratic primary underway, frontrunner John Kerry is taking aim at President Bush. At a rally with union members, the Massachusetts senator said that Bush has not lived up to his commitments to the heroes of 9/11. He also attacked Bush's economic record. The comments come after a CBS poll showed Kerry would beat Bush by 5 points if the election were held today. Meanwhile, President Bush says freedom will prevail in the global war against terrorism. Speaking to National Guard troops in Louisiana, Bush again linked the Iraq war to the ongoing terror war.
Fighting alongside the people of Afghanistan, we are defeating the terrorists in that country. And fighting alongside the people of Iraq, we will defeat the terrorists there as well. Iraq, like Afghanistan, will be free.
Recalling the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the president said terrorist enemies intend to inflict far worse harm on the U.S. Bush addressed the National Guardsmen of the 39th Brigade combat team at Fort Polk. Roughly 4,000 troops from Fort Polk have been in Iraq for nearly a year. Testimony is taking place in the pre-trial hearing of Scott Peterson's double murder trial. Michael O'Connor has more.
Defense attorney Mark Garagos used the morning session to grill the president of the company that designed a global positioning system device used by authorities to track Scott Peterson's movements once Peterson became the prime suspect in his pregnant wife Lacey's death. Garagos tried to get Hugh Rodas to admit that the GPS system failed, but the unflappable Rodas responded that, quote, correct scientific procedures were used, end quote, in referring to the GPS system itself. Scott Peterson is in attendance today. The defendant showed no emotion in the courtroom. Pretrial motions will continue throughout this week. Michael O'Connor, Redwood City.
The celebrations of hundreds of same-sex couples who have recently gotten married in San Francisco may soon come to an end. The Alliance Defense Fund and the Campaign for California Families are asking a judge today to make the marriage licenses given to same-sex couples invalid. A new draft report shows the Roman Catholic Church has spent more than $500 million to settle sex abuse cases in the U.S. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, payouts were made between 1950 and 2002. Stocks continued higher heading into the last hour of today's trading session. The Dow up 98 points, the Nasdaq up 29, the S&P 500 up 13. In sports, the Philadelphia 76ers in town tonight to play the Denver Nuggets. It's the first game back after the All-Star break in December when they last met. Nuggets beat the 76ers. Colorado Avalanche off tonight as they get ready to play host to the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow night. Head to Albertson's Rock Bottom Rotisserie every Tuesday from 4 to 7 p.m. Choose from a jumbo chicken to barbecue, leg quarters, and more, all at rock bottom prices. Albertson's, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Dear smokers, my name's Megan, and I'm here to ask you to stop smoking. My daddy used to smoke. He was always promising to quit. He finally did. But then it was too late. He had cancer, and now he's dead. I'm only 10 years old, and I miss my dad. He was my best friend, and now he's gone.
If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smoke Away, a product clinically tested and proven to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call us today. Thousands have already quit using Smoke Away. Shouldn't you?
Please quit smoking.
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Post News Marketplace. And got an accident involving a train at Calumet and Colfax. It's involving light rail, actually. It doesn't sound like there's too many injuries, but it will back things up. Got an accident report at Hamden and Santa Fe. Watch for delays through there. And a broken water main still causing problems. Wadsworth and 8th in the Lakewood area. In the market for a new home, don't miss the first ever Post News Home Buyer Fair this Saturday in Vesco Field, inside on the club level. Look in Friday's Rocky Mountain News or Denver Post for a complete guide. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Michael Reagan beginning at 6 right after Doug on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mild temperatures for the Denver area over the next couple of days, but then toward the end of the week with another storm system, those numbers will take a tumble. Mostly sunny today with a high right around 54, 36 for the low tonight. A mix of sun and clouds, mid-60s tomorrow. Then the rain and snow moves in. Expected in the morning on Thursday with highs in the upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 59 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Richard Florida, who has written a national bestseller. It's called The Rise of the Creative Class. It has a lot. It's had a lot of impact on cities all over the country, so I'm really interested in talking to him, hearing what he has to say. For those people who say that they support our military, a lot of them are camped out. They're supporting our troops. A lot of them are camped out at bases all over the country. But it turns out that they are supporting themselves, really, using their troops as a method of doing it. U.S. troops are not only under attack in Iraq and Afghanistan, they're being ambushed at home by predatory lenders in communities near Army, Air Force, and Naval bases. So according to a recent study, there's an interesting divergence between the glowing pro-military rhetoric we hear about service to our country, the way our military men and women are being treated at home by these abusing businesses. But it turns out that military men and women are plagued by fast cash lenders who advance small sums until payday and then levy exorbitant fees and interest rates as high as 900% a year. Used car dealers who sell and finance overpriced junkers. Title pawn lenders who use a borrower's car title as collateral for high-priced short-term loans. Some lenders require borrowers to postdate their checks, and if a check bounces, a lender may keep redepositing it electronically, piling on insufficient fund fees, which could boost the cost of a loan by hundreds of dollars. Yet another scam lures former military people into selling their veterans' benefits. One vet received $80,000 in exchange for 10 years of his benefits that were worth $300,000. An analysis requested by Congress concluded that such deals are illegal under federal law. Shady lenders prey on low-income consumers in general, but military personnel are prized targets. They're generally young. They are often unsophisticated about money matters. They are paid without fail by U.S. government check. They are also often strapped for cash. New recruits earn a base pay of only $12,700 per year. It's easy for a borrower to fall behind, and when that happens, a lender approves a new loan to pay off the old one, adding still more interest and fees. Because commanders routinely warn of these kinds of ripoffs, victims tend to remain quiet, so their exact numbers are not known. But the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society headquarters says it has bailed out some 300 people last year to the tune of $275,000, and that is just the tip of the iceberg. Low-income consumers who need a loan should apply at legitimate banks and credit unions. Small short-term signature loans available in many states and even pawn shops have much lower rates than payday loans. Banks and states have limited success in controlling payday lenders. Congress seems unwilling to address the problem. So here is everybody talking about supporting our troops, but near the troop bases because our troops are paid so little, $12,700, no wonder so many of them are on food stamps. There they are, these people ripping them off, payday loans, interest rates as high as 900%. 900%. 303-382-1150. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about whether or not it's appropriate to call George W. Bush, George W. Dickie Bush, which is what I refer to him as because I think it more aptly describes him. You may want to weigh in on that. I invite people who support him to call in because I'm curious to know why they do, although it makes no sense to me. Amy, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, this is Amy calling. I just was making a couple of comments, and we hear so much about how many of our own armed forces have been hurt or killed, and there's never any mention of the Iraqi civilians and their army. I just saw something last night about a bomb, a person who turns the bombs off, or I can't think while I'm driving, but who lost his arm and his legs, and he makes $120 a month, so that works out to about $4 a day, and this is an Iraqi soldier. What about his life from now on, too?
Well, we're not even hearing, except for this piece in the New York Times that that ran on Sunday. We're not even hearing about Americans coming back who are maimed, who are wounded.
Right. The other thing I was going to, I'm battling with a friend of mine who's trying to get health care in this country, and I just was going to make the comment of all the evidence that George Bush has come forward with that he was serving during that time was that he surely made use of free health care, but that was about it with all his dental exams.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. Okay, David Horowitz. an aptly named Putting the Whore into Horowitz. Listen to this. A soon-to-be-launched conservative website is focusing on the nation's political left, listing, it's like a blacklist. It's like a point-your-finger list. He's listing 19 Colorado groups as being on the left. To some of these groups, it came as a big surprise that David Horowitz, who's concocting this website, is making a list of what's on the political left. And what do you have to do to be on the political left? What does it mean? Well, here are some of the usual suspects on the list. The ACLU. But, you know, Bob Barr is part of the ACLU now, and some right-wing conservatives are part of the ACLU, because the ACLU even came to the benefit of Rush Limbaugh in the matter of whether his records would be open to scrutiny or not. The ACLU defended him. So what the ACLU is doing is defending your constitutional rights, whatever side of the political spectrum you seem to reside on. But David Horowitz is calling the ACLU a leftist organization. Clinton Gore Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Reelection Committee of Colorado, he's calling leftist. He's calling, listen to this, groups that didn't even know they were leftist, the Colorado Association for Recycling. He's listing them among leftist groups. The Colorado Coalition for the Homeless, he's calling them leftist. I think Republicans are too fancy to want to dirty their hands helping the homeless. So maybe anybody who helps the homeless is by definition a lefty, because do the Republicans do that? I don't think so. The Compassion of Conservatives, I don't see them lining up to feed the homeless. The Colorado Democratic Party, it's calling left. But, you know, we hear about conservative Republicans. Do we hear about conservative Democrats? Because there are some. I have friends who voted for the war. I don't know if they have egg on their face yet or not, but there are a number of Democrats who people call themselves Democrats who voted for going to war. I would be very curious to know whether you who call yourself Democrats and voted to go to war, how you feel about that now in the face of all this new data coming out. Earth First, the Colorado Democratic Party, Colorado Environmental Coalition, Colorado Legal Initiatives Project, Colorado Recyclers, Colorado Renewable Energy Society, Colorado School Mediation Project, Colorado Stonewall Democrats, Colorado Trail Foundation, Equality Colorado, Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado, Western Colorado Congress, Colorado Trust, the Gill Foundation, Adult Right to Read Program, Pikes Peak Community College. David Horowitz has put up a website calling these all leftist groups and that everybody should know about it, as though there's something wrong with being leftist. And what does it mean? You know, just like Destiny Saunders in his column in the Rocky Mountain News called me very liberal. Nobody ever calls Mike Rosen very conservative or Rush very conservative. They just call them conservative. But me, he called very liberal. And I said, Dusty, I called him out on it. I said, what's your barometer? Well, I'm not so sure he listens to the show that much, but he just decided I was very liberal. I'm anti-war. I'm anti-Bush. But I'm anti-deliberate single motherhood. I am anti-daycare for kids. So those are positions that put me squarely into a conservative. Those latter two positions put me into a conservative environment, into the conservative camp. I think if you're going to have a kid, a dad ought to be in the picture, unless he, you know, atrophies somewhere along the way by death or divorce. So why am I called very liberal here? And why, what is it, what do you have to be a leftist in the David Horowitz canon? He's just trying to get more attention for his books and for his website and for his activities. And I think he's desperate about it, frankly, because they've called us and they've been kind of desperate. Also, Joe Anderson has let me know we've been trying to get Larry Flint on, because Larry Flint is about to come forward with blockbuster information about, and he alleges that George W. Bush was going out with somebody that he impregnated, and he arranged for and paid for the abortion of this woman in the early 70s before abortion was legal in Texas. 303-382-1150. So we try to get Larry on. I have interviewed him previously on this very subject, but he says he's writing a book, and he says when he goes out on tour with the book in June, he'll come to Denver and he will appear live in my studio. So let's hold his feet to the fire. Does he still have feet? Let's hold his wheelchair to the fire. 303-382-1150. Dwayne calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Let's hold his wheelchair to the fire. How inappropriate.
I am so bad. Where does it start?
Well, good afternoon, Enid.
Good afternoon.
Just a quick question for you. Do you ever catch a show on PBS called Frontline?
Once in a while. I am not never around when all the good shows are.
To me, it's the best thing on, has for years been the best thing on television. They did this amazing segment on their last show called Beyond Baghdad, and it was a real in-depth study, not you know, whether or not we have an exit strategy there. We probably do, but is it realistic? And it just really covered the myriad of problems we're facing over there, from getting money to do the reconstruction to all the different factions and everything else. So it, you know, it was just wonderful, and it gave you such a clear view. You know, when George Bush says, oh, you will be out of there in 6 months, that is patently ridiculous if you look at the reality of the situation.
Well, there you go.
Well, and the interesting thing is when we couldn't find the WMDs, all of a sudden this became a war of freedom for the Iraqi people. But what are we doing? Right now, we are fighting democratic open elections over there. And why is that? Because we know that if we allow that, somebody that is not pro-American, one of the clerics...
Wait, give me this again. Start over again.
Oh,
why are we... Do you mean that the reasons for going to war have changed?
Well, no, not again. But, you know, when they claim,
Are you in favor of this war, Dwayne?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, I was not in favor of it from the get-go. I think, as you pointed out, or tried to point out to some previous true believers, one of the things you have to do is look at this Bush administration and how we got into this war. Not only has George Bush, but he surrounded himself with these resurrected people from his father's administration, the Wolfowitzes, the Cheneys, the Rumsfelds, these people from the new American century who for flat out 10 years have been publicly saying Saddam was unfinished business and that good old America had to get over there and start mucking about in the Mideast.
Right. Well, I think it's all coming unraveled now,
yeah,
and it can't come unglued soon enough for me. I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. We're talking also about David Horowitz putting up a website calling all these groups leftist as though it were some disease, as though it were calling you, in the days of the blacklist in the 1950s, a kind of McCarthyism, calling you a communist. Kelly, calling from Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Kelly.
You mentioned something earlier about David Horowitz seeming desperate.
Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to contact you.
Tell me what your point is, Kelly.
My point is I'm just curious because I loathe him.
Well, he's been on the show. I've had him on a couple of times. I like him personally. I don't like what he stands for, and I really think he's seen this as a career move, and he's stepping on the gas. But there was a piece that Gail Shetler, an op-ed piece that she wrote in the Denver Post, I think.
Okay.
And she really took him to task, and his office called us right away and wanted to have him on to rebut it. And there was a kind of, maybe I'm overstating it, but there was a kind of intensity and desperation I thought I recognized, but maybe I'm not right about that.
Oh.
And he doesn't want anybody to say anything about him, but I think he's really more vulnerable than we think. I think he's like a paper tiger. But in the meantime, he gets people like John Andrews. He gets the people among the nearly comatose to jump around as he's shooting in the old Western, shooting the guns and having people like John Andrews jump. How high? So now he's got this leftist, because he knows he gets a lot of juice with it.
I see.
All right, tell me what's on your mind.
You shouldn't really call George Bush Dickie.
I shouldn't? Why not?
Well, you know, he gets his orders from, you know, God.
Oh, he
so
does.
Actually, you're calling God Dickie.
No, I'm not. I'm very careful about that, Kelly. I thank you for the... You know what? George W. Bush does say that he's having conversation. He does believe. There was some interview that was held with him where he does believe that he is getting his marching orders from a higher power. Make of that what you will. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Morse code. We thought it was gone but not forgotten. It is apparently entering the 21st century. It's 160 years old. It has a new character to denote the at symbol that's used in email addresses. Where is Morse code still used? It's not used in the same way. I think it's aficionados are still interested in it. But where do they still use Morse code is my question. Do they still use it on ship-to-shore communication? I wouldn't think so. Telegraphs don't, you know, you don't have telegraphs to the trains. They're not using Morse code anymore. Is Morse code used anywhere in any, where it's the standard, where it's the legal standard? Or are we all doing voice communication, satellite, blah, blah? Is there any place where Morse code is still used as the standard form of communication? 303-382-1150. That's one of my questions. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
In 1779, before he became the second president of the United States, John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail, "I am but an ordinary man. The times alone have destined me to fame." As John's political career grew and the couple's correspondence continued year upon year, these two preserved a unique and historical legacy through their intimate accounts and keen insight into the founding of our nation. In an effort to bring these two characters and their worlds to life, and as part of the Continuing American Spirit series, the Colorado Endowment for the Humanities will present An Evening with John and Abigail Adams, America's first true political couple, on state at historic Trinity United Methodist Church in downtown Denver on Thursday, February 19th, 2004, from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets to this unique fundraising event are $35 and may be purchased by phone at 303-894-7951 or online at www.ceh.org. Again, to purchase tickets, call 303-894-7951.
For 12 years, the Radio Disney All About Kids Expo has provided exciting and fun entertainment for the whole family. Mark your calendar now for Saturday, February 21st and Sunday, February 22nd to be at the Colorado Convention Center for this great kids event. Showcasing games such as the Diaper Derby, miniature golf, and other great kids activities, the Expo features nonstop interactive fun for kids ages 1 to 14. Admission for kids 14 and under is free with a paid adult. For more information on the All About Kids Expo, go to www.all-about-kids.org. How did the Avalanche or the Nuggets do last night? Find out with Tony DeSiri.
Tony DeSiri.
Morning Sports Reports, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:25 on a Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock later in the broadcast. In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Richard Florida. He's written a book called The Rise of the Creative Class, How It's Transforming Work, Leisure, Community, Everyday Life. It's even transforming cities, because you have cities like Denver and Memphis and other cities trying to create a kind of environment that lures creative workers, because when you have the creative workers, then you have the industries that focus and require creativity to survive and thrive, and you attract that kind of industry to your town. I'm very interested to talk to Richard Florida, and that's going to happen in the 2 o'clock hour. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about David Horowitz. He has constructed a website. It's a conservative website listing who is on the political left, and he has listed a bunch of groups that didn't realize they were on the left, something called the Adult Right to Read program at Pikes Peak Community College. He's saying that that's a leftist organization. Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado, he says, is leftist. The Colorado Recyclers, and then again the Colorado Association for Recycling, he's calling leftist. I think this is only divisive, and he doesn't care, because he's looking to make a career for himself. You know, one time he was really, really, really liberal, ultra-liberal in his youth, and then he's gotten ultra-conservative. And when people's pendulums swing that far in one direction or the other, then I don't trust either side of it. I think the truth somewhere is in the middle. Michael Jackson has come out fighting to defend his image. He's got a new website out to attract his fans and to address The rumor is fed up with all the bad press. He is launching a counteroffensive to combat rumors and innuendo that he said could prejudice a jury in his child molestation case. So he's going to have a website trying to combat any rumors that come up. I was asking the question, the Morse code, is it still used officially for anything? Just a question. I'm very interested to know about that, if anybody happens to know. Jim Spencer's column today in the Denver Post, talking about something that just got offed in the legislature, but here it is. Their anti-abortion conservatives tried to push through the Colorado General Assembly a bill to make women and doctors follow a politically motivated protocol, including a 72-hour waiting period in cases of abortion. That didn't survive. But the very fact that these men are trying to decide in a state where and in a country where abortion is legal, they're saying you have to wait 72 hours. There you have John Ashcroft subpoenaing records from, I don't know, 8 or 10 major teaching hospitals on women who may have had late-term abortions, and there are doctors that are challenging that whole late-term abortion legislature in the courts. And I, with the exception of one judge, I think most judges where the cases have come before them have thrown out the late-term abortion, also called partial birth abortion. Tim Russert asked President Bush. He said the following. He said, the Bush-Cheney first 3 years, the unemployment rate has gone up 33%. Unemployment has gone up 33, one-third. There has been a loss of 2.2 million jobs. We have gone from $281 billion surplus to a $521 billion deficit. The debt has gone from $5.7 trillion to $7 trillion, up 23%. And Tim Russert looked Bush deep into his eyeballs and said, based on that record, why should the American people rehire you as a CEO? Isn't that a great question? Let me give you that question again. In the Bush-Cheney 3 years, the unemployment rate has gone up 33%. And I don't think that this counts a lot of people who have just given up looking for work because they're never going to find it. There's been a loss of 2.2 million jobs. We've gone from a $281 billion surplus to almost double that, a $521 billion deficit. The surplus, it's more than doubling. We had 281, and then, so, like, what, about three times the amount of the surplus? Something like that. The debt has gone from $5.7 trillion to $7 trillion, up 23%. Based on that record, why should the American people rehire you as a CEO? So those of you who are George W. Dickey Bush supporters, why should the American government, or why should the American public vote for George W. Dickey Bush? Now, if you tell me it's because you are living in a gated community and you want to pay as few taxes as possible, that's not a good enough reason. Try to eliminate that as one of your arguments, if you have an argument. Why would you vote for a man in whose tenure, who's been the CEO of a country that has lost $2.2 million jobs, the unemployment rate has gone up by 33%. We've gone from a $281 billion surplus to a $521 billion deficit. The debt has gone from up 23%. Why would anybody rehire this person to run the country? Just on the economics, not to mention the lies about going to a war against Iraq. Why would you do this? If you were a Bush supporter, why would you do this? And for conservative Republicans, it's like girls who grew up in the 90s, who grew up in the 80s, who never realized that there was a time when women had to struggle to get some kind of equal rights in the workplace. They just have taken it for granted. So you have a lot of Republicans who are in their 20s and 30s who don't believe that paying taxes is something you should do to live in a country as fabulous as this one. Warren Buffett, who I think is a Republican, believes that there shouldn't be the elimination of the inheritance tax because he says he's happy to pay his taxes, and I'm assuming he pays a considerable amount of taxes, because this country has provided the environment for him to become so dramatically and amazingly successful. 303-831-1340. 1-800-382-1150. We're also talking about an abortion bill that doesn't believe women can make up their own minds. They wanted you to have to wait 72 hours before you were going to have an abortion. That didn't succeed. That failed. But the fact that the legislature is concentrating on subjects like that or on gay marriage, and here I get an email from Jim. Jim says, I have a question for you, and I'll see if you can answer it honestly and without spin. The question about gay marriage is a big topic on your show. He says, I'm a conservative Republican and Bush supporter. My question is, if you think gay marriage should be allowed, do you think incestuous marriage should be allowed? Now, what does one thing have to do with the other? We're not debating. The question of whether you marry your daughter or your son is ridiculous. Nobody's advocating that. Why do you want to get those two confused? So, Jim, you don't have it right. He's trying to create a case where the equivalent for gay marriage is incestuous marriage. Actually, you can marry your cousins. Is that incestuous? In a lot of states, you can marry your first cousins. And I know first cousins who are married to each other, as a matter of fact. They don't have children with each other, but in a lot of places in the world, first cousins do marry each other. Is that incestuous? And in a lot of certain states, it is legal in this country to marry your first cousin. So here is Jim writing to me, telling me that he's a conservative Republican and he's a Bush supporter, and he wants to know if I think gay marriage should be allowed. Do I think incestuous marriage should be allowed? No, I don't. You should not marry your son or daughter. There it is. End of paragraph. Rex in Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to say you asked something about Democrats that are conservative if they were for the war.
Yeah.
And I think the answer to that is no. I mean, I'm a conservative and I'm a Democrat, and I think this word conservative is being robbed from us.
Well, were you in favor of the war, Rex?
No. I was in favor of taking action. Sure. But what a conservative does is they spend more time planning and planning out the battle tactics and what they're going to do with this expensive army, and less time with the army. So more time on the front.
Yeah, but Rex, I'm asking you a question. Were you in favor of going to war against Iraq?
No. I was in favor of diplomacy.
You were?
Yes.
Okay, because I have Democratic friends who were in favor of going to war. I begged them, and they didn't want to hear it. So I'm curious to know, those of you who are Democrats in favor of going to war against Iraq, where do you stand on it now? Thank you, Rex, for the call. 303-382-1150. Jerry, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
I'm having a good time listening to you heading up the mountains. I just wanted to respond to your question as to why George Bush should be reelected as CEO of the country.
Okay. You're in favor of that?
Yeah, I am. I'm a Bush supporter and also a retired businessman and been around a lot of CEOs in my life. Obviously, running the country is a pretty big undertaking. Even CEOs are given a fair amount of latitude to prove that they can turn things around. They're not often asked to do it on a dime. I hope you would agree that when...
Yeah, but he pushed it down on a dime.
Well,
he inherited a huge surplus, and under his tenure, it's now a huge deficit.
I don't argue
it's
that.
It's not that he inherited a horrible situation. 3 years isn't enough time to turn it around. He created the horrible situation.
Wouldn't you agree? I mean, every economist agrees that the economy was weakening toward the end of the Clinton administration, heading toward a recession, which we indeed had, and the country's been through cycles of that nature over many years. Bush did not. He inherited a surplus, to be sure, but he certainly didn't inherit an economy that was growing robustly. To the contrary, it was turning downward.
He inherited not as a robust economy as Clinton had. The bubble was said to be about to burst, but his decisions have not made the economy a better economy.
Well, of late, I would argue that that's not the case. The economy is growing currently. Jobs are not coming on as fast as we would all like, but they're improving.
But giving that irresponsible round after round after round of tax cuts that benefit the richest Americans is not fair to the rest of the country.
We disagree on that. Tax cuts, by definition, if you cut taxes, people who pay taxes, you know, get rid of.
Not according to economists like Paul Krugman. But tell me why else you would support Bush, Jerry. Are you there? Oh, I guess we must have lost him. He's up in the mountains, and we lost the signal. All right. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 60 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Home Depot. More accusations are coming out about the University of Colorado. Katie Nida, who was a place kicker at CU in 1999, has issued a statement saying that in addition to enduring vulgar slurs and groping from some teammates, she says she was raped by a fellow player as well. Meanwhile, one of the members that was appointed to the investigative panel yesterday has resigned. Former FBI employee Kenneth Vardell resigned after Regents learned that he had administered a polygraph test to one of the players at the recruiting party that started the controversy. 42-year-old Gregory Parker could be returned to Colorado from New Mexico sometime today. Parker is accused of the murder of his wife Barbara over the weekend in Littleton. He was arrested in New Mexico on Sunday morning. Police aren't sure of the motive yet, but they believe an argument may have preceded the killing. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the Philadelphia 76ers tonight at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets beat the Sixers when they last played in December. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot at-home services. Visit your local store today for more info. Trust the Home Depot at-home services. License numbers available upon request. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
Congrats to former Bronco quarterback and one of Denver's own, John Elway, for his election into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Ready, break!
We are proud of you. Congrats from the staff at AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the All About Kids Expo, and looking much better around the metro area. Got that accident out of the way. Westbound I-70 York, so good news there. Still working the broken water main, so watch for that at Wadsworth and 8th. Everywhere else, though, is looking pretty good around the metro area. All About Kids Expo is this Saturday and Sunday at the Convention Center. Over 80 booths of activities and fun, live entertainment, a petting zoo, pony rides, and more. All About Kids this weekend. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly weekday mornings at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We'll enjoy a very pleasant afternoon today, a nice night tonight, and a pretty good day tomorrow, but then it goes downhill as the next storm system comes in. With sunshine, we'll top out around 54 for our high, and then drop back into the mid-30s tonight. Partly cloudy, 66 tomorrow. Rain and snow develops late Wednesday night into Thursday. Thursday's high in the upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 60 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ed's towing. Hello.
It's so simple.
Oh, my car won't start.
Just add it to your gas tank every time you fill up.
Oh, where? I don't know. Miller Road or...
Heat gas line antifreeze. It takes just seconds.
2 hours? You've got to be kidding me.
And heat prevents gas line freeze-ups all winter long for quick, easy starts.
Look, it's freezing. Can't you get here sooner?
A good thing to remember before you get stopped cold.
Please, just hurry.
Cold engines start with heat.
I'm no professional photographer. But Walgreens' new digital photo center sure makes me feel like I am. With just the touch of a screen, I can choose and edit the photos I want. I can crop them, remove red eye, and when I'm ready to print, I can also choose the size and quantity. So in almost no time, I'm walking out with premium prints at a price that's anything but premium. Just 29 cents for each 4x6. Walgreens' new digital photo center, where America takes its digital pictures.
KNRC Market Watch.
stocks are holding near their best levels of the day. Inside the final hour of trading, Dow Industrials are up 90 points right now. The S&P 500 adding a dozen. NASDAQ is up 28 points. Buyers are dialing up wireless stocks after Singular cut a deal to buy AT&T Wireless, a $41 billion deal. Some think this could spark a wave of consolidation in the industry. And AT&T Wireless remains the top gainer at the NYSE. It's up 17%. Verizon is adding a half dollar. Sprint PCS up 75 cents. Pfizer continues to rule the drug industry, according to fresh data from IMS Health, showing the company holding its position as the top seller of prescription drugs in the U.S. for a third straight year. Pfizer's stock is up a half dollar. Some of the best-selling DVDs are not movies. They're TV shows. Good thing for Lionsgate Entertainment, which says strong demand for DVD versions of Saturday Night Live, among others, helped to push sales up 25% in the last quarter. I'm Joe Matthew in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Get better stock information than Martha Stewart got. CBS MarketWatch, mornings and afternoons at 40 past the hour. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:43 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 3 o'clock in the next hour. Richard Florida, The Rise of the Creative Class. This from a columnist in Canada, a weapon of mass destruction. Ironically, he says the most lethal weapon of mass destruction faced happens to be cars, trucks, and SUVs. 43,000 die each year in traffic accidents. Just a thought. If you're a conservative Democrat, if you have been in favor of going to war, or even if a conservative Republican, but particularly a conservative Democrat, because I know a few, how do you feel about it now? Do you have the courage to admit that you might not have been right in that assessment? And in the Tim Russert question to President George W. Dickey Bush, the Bush-Cheney first 3 years, the unemployment rate has gone up 33%. There's been a loss of 2.2 million jobs. We've gone from a $281 billion surplus to a $521 billion deficit. The debt has gone from $5.7 trillion to $7 trillion, up 23%. Based on that record, why should the American people rehire you as a CEO? I think that's a superb question. How would you answer it? And if you're a Bush supporter, how would you answer it? George, calling from Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
I'm good, George.
I know you're talking about George Bush and possibly even Dick Cheney, but I'd like to tie Bill Owens into them and their tax breaks to people that are in the more wealthy areas. I was over in Rifle and Battlement Mesa and saw all these Halliburton trucks going back and forth drilling over on Eastern Slope, and I remembered that down at the state legislature and at the state capitol when Bill Owens first became governor, he passed an executive order to eliminate all revenue from severance taxes on state minerals, coal, oil, gas. And in the last 7.5 years, I wonder what that amount of revenue would add up to on breaks that he gave to companies like Halliburton.
Well, I don't know, but Halliburton is under even more scrutiny now. It was facing another investigation over this time over possible business dealings with Iran. And that this is something that occurred on Dick Cheney's watch. So that's another point of investigation for Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why we're not seeing investigative reports about Halliburton and what it's and the breaks that it's getting. It is allowed to incorporate offshore. It winds up not paying taxes. It does business with with some of our enemies, that have some of them in the axis of evil, as George W. Bush has called it. The way some of these contracts are designed, so much outsourcing has gone on, only Halliburton, Brown, Root, Kellogg is able to do it, or they construct the contract so that they're the only ones who can bid successfully. Yeah. And very often there's not even any other people bidding. These are no bid contracts awarded to companies like Halliburton.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Bill Owens was in the Senate, he didn't take a salary in the center because he was working with the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. And then when he gets to be governor, the first thing he does is give everybody, I'm from Montana and Idaho and Wyoming, I know they still have their severance tax up there, help supporting their colleges, their grade schools. And Bill Owens has taken this away from us for the past 7.5 years, and no one holds his feet in the fire for what he did to the revenue sources for our state.
How come you think they're not doing that? Why are they not holding his feet to the fire?
Because the press here lets the Republicans set the parameters of what they're going to talk about. So they only talk about Tabor, Gallagher Amendment, and Amendment 23.
How come they're not talking? How come they're not asking the governor directly whether he has fathered a child out of wedlock? Because there's so many rumors about that. The kid is supposed to be living in Wyoming, Alaska, you know, 50 other places, parts of the world, and we don't even know if such a kid exists.
Well, maybe that's why he's not on the committee to look into sex and drug and alcohol up at CU.
There you go, George. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. How the Bush administration squandered the money needed to reform government. Karl Rove must be hard at work coming up with a slogan for Bush's reelection campaign. Four more wars, no new quagmires, reformer with results. But the campaign worked overtime to tout Bush's reform credentials. He promised to reform the education system. He promised to modernize Social Security and Medicare, to change the way Republicans treat the poor. Bush aides talked admiringly of Bill Clinton's third way and promised a compassionate, conservative fourth way of their own. Maybe they meant to say fourth down, because whenever the future of reform is at stake, the Bush White House has punted. Instead of providing the muscle to make education reform work, more and better teachers, universal after-school programs, summer school in poor districts, resources not only to test students but also help them succeed. All Bush has given the education system is an easy excuse to set the standards movement back decades. So what he has done is he's taken all of our capital, the money, and squandered it, really has given it back to the richest Americans, and everybody else is left to flounder around. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. For the first time since winning in Iowa, Massachusetts Senator John Kerry has seen his national poll numbers slip. Now, these poll numbers are for something called the Rasmussen Report, so I don't know how accurate they are. But they're a national tracking poll, apparently, showing that Kerry now attracts support from 43% of the nation's Democrats, down from 51% 3 days ago. John Edwards is supposed to be a distant second, but gaining. He now attracts support from 25% of the nation's Democrats, up from 18%. So he's moving up. Howard Dean is supported by 13% of Democrats at this time. So here's the question. I would like to know, Howard Dean says he's going to press on even if he loses in Wisconsin, and it's fairly inevitable apparently that he will lose in Wisconsin. Imagine that a lot of Democrats from any central party structure will be falling away. Maybe even some of his key aides will be falling away. Do you want to comment on Howard Dean continuing to stay in the race, continuing to fight the good fight, even though it looks like it's all been inevitable that he will not succeed? And does anybody think that he will be chosen as a vice presidential running mate? I don't actually see that happening. But those of you who have been really strong Deaniacs, I would love to know where you are now. Who are you supporting? What do you think Howard ought to do? I think that he had a huge role in galvanizing the discussion. I really admire him for persevering, to tell you the truth. I love the quote from Winston Churchill. And we see it on billboards around town. Never, never, never give up. Don't give up if this is what you believe in. Just keep going. So what? If you're an object of ridicule, what difference does it make? Who cares about that? Should that really matter? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio. AM 1150 KNRC. She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk.
datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. Datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
This is Rocky Moselle of the International Star Registry. For over 20 years, One Gift has become the most unforgettable gift ever received, naming a star after someone. For $48 and a call to 800-282-3333, the Star Registry will send a full-color parchment certificate, sky charts to locate the star, and a fascinating booklet on astronomy. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry now at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that is remembered forever.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Junior League of Denver's award-winning thrift store will hold their Dollar Day sales event March 12th and 13th at 351 Inglewood Parkway in Inglewood. Their upscale store features a superb selection of thrift and designer merchandise, with thrift items selling for only $1 and designer clothing and furniture a steal at 50% off their regular low prices. So mark your calendar now for the Junior League of Denver's Dollar Days, March 12th and 13th at 351 Inglewood Parkway in Inglewood.
Stop by Bank One and get Maximum Strength Checking, the most powerful form of checking known to money. Now with free customized email alerts that can save you money.
Dr. Yuki hosts the exciting The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, airing live Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KNRC. The show is a zany, fast trip into the hilarious and fascinating world of animals. Learn unusual facts about the critters with which we share our world. Callers can win prizes during the Pet Trivia Challenge, and lots of fun is in store. Don't miss the fast-paced, action-packed hour of fun and hilarity with Dr. Yuki and The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, Saturdays at 2 on KNRC.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:54 on a Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And the 2 o'clock hour, next hour, Richard Florida, the rise of the creative class. I think he'll be fascinating to talk to. A couple of things. Remember Daniel Pearl writing for the Wall Street Journal? He was murdered in Pakistan while reporting for the Wall Street Journal. Well, his wife is going public. She is so upset with the Wall Street Journal that they didn't send anybody to court to represent Danny as Pakistani authorities began prosecutions for his kidnapping. Not only had the paper not sent anyone at all. And apparently they have not been as supportive to her as she would have thought, given that he died in the line of fire reporting a story. And so she's going public with it. I don't know if you know the name John Gottman. Not John Gotti, the Mafia Don, Teflon John, or Teflon Don, as they used to call him. But a man named John Gottman is a researcher at the University of Washington in Seattle, UW. And the reason we know who he is he has been researching marriage for a long, long time. And he has been able to predict, listen to this, with 94% accuracy, which couples will divorce after just viewing them for a few minutes and listening to their conversation. And I don't know exactly what it is he finds out about them, but within just a few minutes of a conversation, he can tell you he's 94% accurate, whether or not they're going to stay together as a couple or whether they're going to divorce. Don't you think that's fascinating? I think we should try to get him on. Let's do that. Let's see if he'll talk to us. John Gottman from the University of Washington. The key to making a prediction, he's saying, and he's trying to concoct a model that therapists and so on can use to strengthen marriages. He says the key to making a prediction of divorce is the ratio of positive interactions, such as laughing, to negative interactions, such as an angry facial expression. So if he senses that there's more positive stuff going on with a couple than negative, then I guess he thinks they're going to survive. If the ratio is less than 5-1, his model indicates that the relationship may be in trouble. So if couples are just dissing each other, and by the way, I do know couples who do that. I know couples who are like the Bickersons, which was an old-time, I think 1930s or so, radio show, where all they did was bicker with each other. And I never know what to do when couples are bickering with each other, so I don't do anything. I just shut up. because I'm afraid to take anybody's side, because then I think then they'll hop on me and start. The two of them will be allied against me in some way. If you have any clues as to how you handle a bickering couple, I'd be delighted to know. Some of the things we've been talking about today, whether or not it's fair to call George W. Bush, George W. Dickie Bush, I think it is, because I think it describes him, and I think it's fairly benign compared to the way the Democrats referred to Bill Clinton's whole family, but some of you have taken exception to that. David Horowitz setting up a website in which he is trying to finger people and organizations that he calls leftists. It has the stench about it of someone desperate to step on the gas where his career is concerned. And also it has a stench on it of a kind of Latter-day McCarthyism, where you're going to say, how is this different from the Nuremberg file? Remember what that was? That was a website that listed doctors who would perform abortions. And then finally they had to take it down because those doctors, once those names went up on the website, you had crazies going out there to target those doctors and assassinate them. Now, even though that information is public information, I believe the courts forced that website down because it was endangering people's lives. I don't know on what grounds they forced it down. But in a way, you have David Horowitz doing the same thing. He's trying to set up these groups as targets. And I don't know what you call left, and I don't know what you call right. And if you're talking about somebody like me, in some ways I'm very left or left, and in some ways I'm not. I'll take positions that will startle you because they're not considered leftist positions. They're considered more conservative positions. For example, I think daycare is one of the worst things you can do to your kids. And a lot of you who are conservatives hate me for saying that. A lot of you who are liberals hate me for saying that. But I think it's negligent parenting to dump your kids into daycare for any protracted period. Here and there, it's fine. You know, sometimes you don't have an alternative. But a lot of people have kids, have plenty of money, don't have to work. Someone could stay home with the kid. Or they could sacrifice a little bit in the lifestyle to give a kid something rich that the child will have for its whole life. And don't. They just throw it into daycare because that has become socially acceptable to abandon your children in that way. 303-382-1150. So how liberal is that? How left of center is that? You tell me. One more hour of Enid Live coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. In the next hour, we're joined by Richard Florida. He's written The Rise of the Creative Class and how it is transforming work, leisure, community, and everyday life. We'll find out exactly how that's happening. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live.
Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Post News Jobs. A former place kicker for the CU Buffs says she was raped while at the University of Colorado in 1999. Katie Nida, who is now at the University of New Mexico, issued a statement through UNM today saying that not only did she have to endure vulgar slurs and groping from teammates at CU, but she says she was raped by a fellow player. Nida says she's still dealing with the repercussions from her short time at CU and that she'll be dealing with it for the rest of her life. Since Nida was at CU in 1999, she says she can't comment on the lawsuits filed by three women claiming rape at a 2001 recruiting party. Nida does say, however, that she believes her information is pertinent to the investigation currently underway. Nida has been in contact with Boulder County law enforcement agencies, even though she doesn't expect to file charges at this time. Meanwhile, one member of the investigative panel that is looking into the allegations against the CU recruiting program has resigned. Kenneth Vardell, a former FBI employee, resigned after Regents learned that he had administered a polygraph test to one of the players who was at the 2001 recruiting party that has sparked the allegations regarding the football recruiting program. Another panel member, Bishop Philip Porter, has also generated some controversy after it was learned that he helped former CU football coach Bill McCartney launch Promise Keepers. Littleton police expect that 42-year-old Gregory Parker will be back in Colorado soon, possibly today. He's accused of the weekend murder of his wife in Littleton over the weekend. Littleton Police Sergeant Sean Dugan says there isn't much investigative work left to do at the crime scene.
Mr. Parker confessed to this crime. And it's just a matter of collecting the necessary things from the crime scene. that will need to file the case and prosecute the case.
Investigators still aren't sure of the motive for the killing yet, but they suspect that an argument preceded the murder. Barbara Parker's body was found Sunday morning. Police think she was killed sometime Saturday night. A memorial service for her will be held Friday morning at 11 at the Columbine United Church, 5900 South Platte Canyon Drive in Littleton. Two small dogs were stolen from an Englewood animal shelter. Police believe the dogs were taken sometime from the Humane Society shelter at 2760 South Platte River Drive between 6:30 last night and 5:30 this morning. One of the two dogs was identified as a survivor of a fire within a kennel, which in turn was inside a dumpster in Arvada. Englewood police say they have no suspect information. A new University of Connecticut national poll shows President Bush and his likely challenger, John Kerry, in a virtual dead heat in the battle for the White House. The poll shows 46% saying they plan to vote for the Massachusetts senator, with 45% expressing support for Bush. Poll director Ken Dotrick says they found another interesting statistic in these results.
9 months before the election, Kerry hasn't even officially been ordained a Democratic Party's candidate, and only 6% of registered voters are undecided. So I think that's fairly significant.
The top choice for the vice presidential Democratic candidate is North Carolina Senator John Edwards, with 64% saying he'd be an excellent choice or a good choice. 55% say New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton would be an excellent or good pick as Kerry's running mate. However, 22% say she would be a poor choice, while only 8% labeled Edwards that way. Residents of Wisconsin making their choice for the Democratic presidential nomination today. Kerry is expected to win that race. The legal battle over same-sex marriage in San Francisco is far from over. Joel Kamischer has more.
The day's first hearing didn't get very far. It was put off till Friday after the judge ruled opponents of gay marriage didn't give enough notice when they filed their legal briefs. Attorney Rena Lander-Vinson, who was representing those opposed to gay marriage, says the city is not going about this the right way.
The way to do this is not to have a rogue mayor who violates the law and then somehow he asserts the claims of these other people. They can go out, if you want same-sex marriage and want to challenge the laws, go out and challenge the laws in an independent lawsuit.
Opponents say they'll take their case to the state court of appeal if they don't get relief on the local level. Joel Kamischer, San Francisco.
Stocks were higher across the board just before the close of today's trading session. The Dow was up 87 points, the NASDAQ up nearly 26, the S&P 500 up just over 11. In sports, it's the Denver Nuggets versus the Philadelphia 76ers tonight at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets beat the 76ers in December when they last played. No game for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. They'll be back on the ice at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the Edmonton Oilers. The Avs got beat 1-0 last night by the Vancouver Canucks. Ball Aerospace, a leader in the aerospace and defense industry, is looking for engineers. Apply today at BallAerospace.com. For more details, see the Sunday Denver Post or visit PostNewsJobs.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
From Estes Park to Colorado Springs, from Golden to Aurora, hear Denver's most entertaining talk personalities exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter. Told in the key of blues, the new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. According to the Denver Post, these two actresses are as good as anyone doing anything on Broadway. Cookery is a bio-musical that has a life story worth retelling. Great seats are still available. Call today, 303-309-3773. Cookin' at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets are just $40 Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m. Weekend matinees at 3 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale at Tickets West Outlets, King Supers, by calling 866-464-2626 or call the theater at 303-309-3773.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check the roads. Here's Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Subway, and looking a lot better than it was just a short while ago on the roads. We do have that one problem, Wadsworth and 8th in the Lakewood area, where we do have a water main break, so watch for that. A little bit of a tie-up southbound 225 right at the spillway where they have that lane shift. Watch for some changing and slowing traffic there. Northbound I-25 through the tech center, just some normal slowing for this time of day. Start the year by eating and feeling good at Subway. Try Subway's new Atkins-friendly carb-controlled wraps. Savor the flavor of the turkey, bacon melt, or chicken bacon ranch Atkins-friendly wraps. Now at Subway. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. Doug Kellett, 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Dry and mild today and tomorrow, but then our next storm system hits Wednesday night into Thursday. We'll top out around 54 for the high today, 36 for our overnight low, and with a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s, rain and snow showers, cooler on Thursday with highs in the upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 61 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Joining us in this segment, Richard Florida, author of The Rise of the Creative Class and How It's Transforming Work, Leisure, Community, and Everyday Life. Richard Florida, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Enid. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Every time I pick up any kind of a story about reviving, say, Memphis. I know the New York Times did a piece on it, and other cities. Your name inevitably comes up. The book inevitably comes up. You've had a lot of influence on what's going on in various cities around the country, including, I think, our own city, Denver. Talk to me about the rise of the creative class. What are you trying to say here?
Well, first of all, I think you're right. We've had a pretty big and great relationship with the community of Denver and the entire Denver Boulder metro region, and certainly your new mayor. I'm a fan of your new mayor,
and he's a big fan of yours too, as a matter of fact.
People, Denise Montgomery and others. So I think you guys are well on your way to actually doing what I write about. But yes, who's in the creative class? And the book really says two things about this. It says if you look at the actual definition, if you want to grow your economy, you need your people who create new things for a living. And obviously, we've known that a lot about the techies, the technology people, the scientists, people who work in infotech and biotech. And they're an important component. But there's also artists and musicians and designers and culturally creative people. Some of those create new value by designing the kind of eyeglasses or shoes or cars or appliances we want to have in our lives. But the others create value because they stimulate that creativity. And I call those people the super creative core. And then rounding out the creative class are knowledge-based professionals, people who work in the traditional professions. But there's something that I want to clarify before we go on. I mean, the book also says that the real key to cities and regions to become productive and prosperous is not simply try to attract the so-called creative class from San Francisco to Denver or from Seattle to Boulder. In real fact, the key is 30% of Americans have these creative class jobs. Well, 70% don't. The real key is that we have to see every single person, every single human being as creative, and in fact open up opportunity and the capacity to tap that creativity of factory workers or people who work in the services, people who work in the hair cutting field or aesthetics field. So really we have to broaden the definition of who is creative and who participates in the creative class, and that's really the challenge before us.
All right, now wait a minute. I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I'm one of those people who did move here from San Francisco, from the Bay Area, but it was the job that brought me here. Let me just interpret what I see happening in corporate America from a distance. Corporate America has set up, pays a lot of lip service to creativity. But if you look at creativity is in fact chaotic. And what I think corporate America seems to feel more comfortable with is for you to fit into the cog that they create in some way. It may mean that your own creativity is stifling, and many corporations, while they pay lip service to the idea of creativity, and many organizations actually have put creativity to good use, it has been important in the development. I'm thinking of companies like Microsoft and so on. Still, I think a lot of corporations talk about it but don't want to really practice it in reality. And so you have to fit yourself in. If you want a job, you have to very often fit yourself into the groove that they have created for you. Can you address that?
Oh, I agree entirely, and the book has a whole section that's been ignored by most of the press on the creative corporation and the creative workplace, and I've been working on this for 10 years. I mean, the short answer to your question is when that happens, you become Pittsburgh and Buffalo and Detroit and Cleveland. When corporations, organization, man, corporations squelch human creativity, not only are the people stop being creative, you know what they do? They move. And they go to San Francisco or Denver or Seattle or places where they can have a, be relatively more creative at work and have an environment, a social environment, a community environment in which they feel like they can express themselves. That said, I think there are very few companies, and I mean, we work with Microsoft, and I think they're a great company. There are very few companies that are really doing this in a systematic way. If you look at even the best companies like Microsoft, the way they get creativity out of their workers is, and we know this, creative people do not respond to money. I mean, every psychological study of creative people said creativity is intrinsic, not extrinsic. You can't buy it. You have to motivate it. You have to act on people's drives and what they want to be. Microsoft really uses what we would call peer-based competition, you know, to be a great software developer and to shine in the light of the peers, and then, of course, to make some money. The company that I think does this best of all the companies I've looked at is a company in North Carolina. It's called the SAS Institute. Your listeners might remember they were profiled on
60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a wonderful story. Now spell it again.
SAS, S-A-S Institute. And after I wrote the book, which is interesting, and I saw the 60 Minutes, the fellow Jim Goodnight, who founded that company, and his wife Ann Goodnight, who's big in arts and culture and all kinds of philanthropy, they called me up and said, why don't you come down here and meet with us? And we've become great friends. But what if you remember that story, what the SAS Institute does is, it, you know, Jim's great rule of thumb is if you're working more than 8 hours a day, your 9th, 10th, and 11th hour producing software, all you're making is bugs. And, you know, the whole idea of on-site healthcare, on-site daycare, on-site physical fitness, there are artists on staff. The place is filled with beautiful sculpture and public art.
And they have concierge services too, I think. All kinds of food.
If you get sick, take your kid to work. If you get sick, go to the work. The point that Jim makes, the folks at SAS make, is the real thing they need to focus on is the creative asset, the human being. That human, and they don't give stock options. They don't pay huge bonuses. They make it an environment in which people want to be creative. And the point is that all of this other distraction, you know, that you have to do in your life, working in one of these companies that treat you like a cog in the machine, that's actually an opportunity cost for the company, because what the company really needs is that human creative energy. And that's what, you know, Jim's had the most successful software company in the world, and in a recent story in Software Business magazine, he's offered the highest rate of return, consistent rate of return of any company in the high-tech fields, because he treats and he values and he invests and he harnesses that creative asset. So the point is that companies that do that over time will be successful, and companies that don't won't, and the market will work.
And he's an ambulatory example of doing well by doing good. Give us a profile of your background. For those of you just tuning in, my guest is Richard Florida. He's written a best-selling book that's had an enormous effect on a lot of people in this country and a lot of cities. The book is called The Rise of the Creative Class, How It's Transforming Work, Leisure, Community, and Everyday Life. It certainly had a great effect on Denver. Richard, what is your background?
Well, you know, some people read the book or some people try to criticize me and say, oh, you know, Richard's interested in arts and culture. He's an arts and culture guy. Or, you know, everyone's picked up on this finding that places that have higher concentrations, not just of artists and musicians, but gay people also tend to be more innovative and high tech. And they say, well, he's got a cultural agenda. You know, he's got a gay agenda. Fact of the matter is I'm a straight man. But the point is my background is in high tech economics. What I spent my entire career studying is why companies get competitive, why cities get competitive, why nations get competitive. And what I found is that, you know, most people who study this say, oh, you know, it has to do with low costs, or oh, it has to do with low taxes, or oh, it has to do with a great, you know, a deregulated, privatized business climate. Well, you know, the cheapest places to do business, whether that's Buffalo or Pittsburgh or Detroit, or they're the places that aren't doing good, and the most expensive places to do business, whether that's San Francisco or New York or Chicago or Boston or Washington, D.C., or Denver, are the places that are competitive. Why? Because creative people want to live in great places. They want excitement. They want a place that has energy. So what my book tried to say is if we really want to understand what makes a place competitive, we have to get off this kind of idea that the way to compete is by lowering taxes and privatizing and deregulating everything and lowering costs. In fact, there's a whole other set of inputs to the competitive process, which are called a great place to live for you and your family, whether you're single or you have kids, or the great stuff to do and a great environment in which to do things, and that people are willing to pay play for. And as a result, because they attract such creative people and innovative companies, those places are compensated with increased productivity, increased innovation, higher rates of entrepreneurship, and faster rates of growth.
Are you, you're a professor right now?
Yes.
Are you teaching? And you're the H. John Hines III professor at Carnegie Mellon?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's
so
what
that's
I do.
You have to have a Teresa Hines connection there somehow.
Teresa is a good friend, and in fact, I was very much inspired by the late Senator Hines, and good friends, great friends with Teresa, and her boys, and yeah, I mean they've been fantastic, and care desperately about the ability to make great places.
All right, where's the horse and where is the cart? How does it happen? Let's say there were people in Denver who had the foresight in the '60s when everything was being urban renewed out of its existence, and one of them is a great friend of mine, Dana Crawford, who got Larimer Square saved, and that began a movement, I think, maybe there are other people involved too, I'm new to Denver, but got a movement going where old buildings were saved. So you have these wonderful old buildings in Denver that have been turned into lofts and other kinds of things, and it's given a certain vibrancy to the downtown area, to Lodo, that I think would not have happened. But where is the horse? Where is the cart? And or does everything have to work in tandem? If you were sitting there orchestrating things, how would you do it?
Well, I think the second point is right, that everything has to work in tandem. We have this false dichotomy where people say, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And most people who want to criticize this line of work say, well, if you're going to grow an economy, you have to create jobs. All this other stuff follows. You get the artists, the musicians, the historic preservation if you create the jobs. And what I say is all the jobs seem to be going to places that have all this other stuff. In fact, there is no chicken and egg. It's a false dichotomy. You need to do both. I think with regard to your area or regard to any
area.
Yeah,
talk about Denver. Because there was a tech bubble here, as I understand it, and Denver has gone through its own cycles of boom and bust, but the tech bubble burst, so there are a lot of people looking for work. There's still a lot of vitality. Talk specifically about Denver, if you can.
Well, the first thing I'd say is we have to look at the broad Denver-Boulder metro area as one thing. I think that one of the key investments that people made in the state of Colorado and in your region is they built world-class universities, the University of Colorado, the University of Colorado at Denver. And I think without those things, you'd really be talking about, you know, just another city. But you have top universities, and whether it's Austin, San Francisco, Denver, Boston, you can't compete without that. The second thing, and you know, you're blessed with some natural beauty and a decent climate. But I think the third thing that you've done is you've been able to partner these research or scientific and technological assets that you built with the fact that you want to become a more exciting place. And you offer something for everyone. You know, there's Lodo for a young single. There's great suburbs for people with families. There's Boulder if you want to do the outdoorsy thing. And it's not like you offer one thing, just, you know, a great urban warehouse neighborhood for gay people or for young singles. A great region offers something for everybody. I call this a people climate. You know, so many leaders focus on the business climate. We've got to have this business climate, this and that. The real key is to have a great people climate, and you've done that. You know, even though you may be suffering a little, compare yourself to places that have undergone decade upon decade of decline, like these Midwestern cities that I've mentioned. You know, Denver Boulder has the kind of economic capacity and technology in a variety of industries that is quite stellar, and it's still the kind of place that people want to move to rather than away from.
So then, even though their jobs are tough right now and the economy in Denver and in Colorado is suffering, what you're saying here is because there's so much here for everybody, it continues to attract people in Denver.
Yeah, and if you look at job creation in the U.S. economy, I mean, there are a certain class of, we're going through an economic revolution, like the change from a farm economy to an industrial economy. We are moving from an industrial economy to a creative economy. Denver is losing manufacturing jobs. It is losing those semiconductor and computer hardware jobs, as Austin is, as San Francisco is. But it's gaining jobs in the creative economy. We did this for Austin.
In what areas do you see Denver gaining jobs?
Well, I'd have to look much more closely at the Denver statistics, but I can tell you in the U.S. as a whole, we are growing jobs in the so-called creative occupations. We are growing jobs in science, technology, not necessarily the production of technology, but the invention of technology. We are growing huge amounts of jobs in entertainment, arts, culture, design. We're growing all of those jobs, and fortunately for Denver and Boulder, you have a preponderance of your economy in those sectors. We are bleeding jobs in manufacturing, and we're bleeding jobs in standard services, the run-of-the-mill kinds of call centering, or the run-of-the-mill kinds of very standard software, I wouldn't even say programming, data entry that can be offshored and outsourced. But fortunately, in contrast to many other metros, Denver is generating more than the Denver metro is generating more than its share of those jobs.
My guest is Richard Florida. The book is called The Rise of the Creative Class and How It's Transforming Work, Leisure, Community, and Everyday Life. If you could wave a magic wand, Richard, what would you do to increase creativity in Denver, to bring in more possibility for creative work, to attract more creative citizens here, to encourage more creativity in the in schools, teaching more creativity or encouraging more of creativity with their students? What would you recommend?
Well, first, I'd say you're blessed in that you have a great university, you have the right kind of economic mix, and you have a visionary mayor who's capturing the attention of cities and regions around the world. Now, what would I advise, John, and what would I advise others in the region? I think the real thing is not so much to go out there and try to lure people from San Francisco or from Boston or New York. I think the real thing that you've got to do is you've got a very ethnically integrated metro, large Hispanic population, Latino and Hispanic, a large African American. In fact, I know your former mayor fairly well, Wellington Webb. You have an immigrant population. What I would do is work to position Denver to harness the creative assets that it has that are not being harnessed. I would work with the schools, with low-income populations, with minority and Hispanic kids. I mean, my great dream is that every kid who wants to be a DJ or a hip-hop poet or be a muralist, some people would call that a graffiti artist, that those kids, instead of being forced to sit through the most boring class in the world on whatever it is, that the classroom can become a vehicle for spurring their creativity and channeling it. So I would want to make
there could be a great community graffiti wall, too, where kids can go and do their graffiti.
I'd want to make Denver Boulder the place where not only great creatives migrate from around the world, but I'd want to make it the kind of place where everybody really feels included. And I think that really is the challenge, because if you look at the great creative centers of the world, whether it's San Francisco or New York or Boston, we're just talking about this today, who can afford to live there? And I was looking at the Wall Street Journal statistics. For some areas in the Bay Area, the median housing price is $1.6 million. So these places are so in demand for creative, innovative, entrepreneurial art.
I want to say something about the Bay Area, having lived there for a very long time. The Bay Area is in terrible danger of turning itself into a theme park. And it really can't. I still have this great small bag that I bought in Europe that holds nothing, but it's just gorgeous, rather like San Francisco. And if I have to use it going anywhere, I have to have a big bag in the trunk of my car that has all the useful things that I need that I stash. And I call that bag my Oakland, because
yep.
San Francisco cannot really exist without Oakland to be the industrial part of it. But I think I see a lot of creativity in places like Seattle and in places like Denver that I don't see in places like San Francisco, even
right.
though San Francisco is ringed by really fabulous first-class universities, world-class universities.
We just recalibrated our creativity index and re-ranked all the cities. San Francisco, the Bay Area, which include the Silicon Valley, San Francisco, and Berkeley, was ranked first. It fell. Austin is now number one.
Really? So. Where is San Francisco now? Because I'm just reporting to you something intuitive. I'm not, nothing statistical.
I was with some friends from the Bay Area, and they said there's a big migration out to even Davis and Sacramento, and of course out to Oakland. So I think that positions Denver. I mean, as a place like San Francisco in the Bay Area, it gets so expensive and so generic. Look what's happened in Manhattan. The Lower East Side and Soho are once the creative cauldron of a lot of things. The only thing you can get in Soho now is something from Pottery Barn. All of that creative energy has migrated into Brooklyn and the outer boroughs. So, as my mentor Jane Jacobs once told me, 87 years old, wrote the most important book on cities called The Death and Life of Great American
Cities. Oh, yeah,
cities.
She's wonderful.
She said, and I hope your listeners appreciate this, she said, when a place gets boring, even the rich people leave. And, that's what's in danger of happening in some of these places that have become overly generic.
But New York is the place where you bring your thing. That is the bizarre, where you bring the thing that you developed often someplace else.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I was just talking to a student who's studying the fashion industry, and she was saying New York remains a center of fashion innovation. And he said, not necessarily. New York remains a place where you take your interesting design if you've developed it in Antwerp or in Milan or in France or in Japan or in Korea. You take your really cool design and you bring it to New York to the fashion show. So you're absolutely right that places that can provide a market for creativity get an edge. And let me give you another example. Austin and music. The Austin thing about music isn't just a place to play. I mean, the South by Southwest Music and Film Festival has become that bazaar, that market. When you're an innovative young band and you want a record deal, you go to the South by Southwest Music Festival to get that deal. So I think you're right. You not only have to be a great creative call. I mean, people misunderstand this all the time. It's not just enough to have creative assets. You've got to have the market to use and to sell and to make money off those creative assets.
And therein lies the trickiness of the puzzle. My guest is Richard Florida. Can you hang with us for a few more minutes, Richard? His book is called The Rise of the Creative Class and How It's Transforming Work, Leisure, Community, and Everyday Life. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Or Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. A full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a two-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Mike Regan. I'm glad to be part of the great talk show lineup and the Hear Both Sides concept. See you at 6 p.m. weeknights on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:29 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. My guest, Richard Florida, The Rise of the Creative Class and How It's Transforming Work, Leisure, Community, and Everyday Life. If you were, Richard, I've been very interested in creativity and have managed somehow in my life to make a living with it. You never know with creativity, but it's dancing on your feet and trying to... I always liked what Ralph Waldo Emerson said, that everybody has a gift, and I think it's part of our journey in life to find out what the gift is. Are you there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I didn't know if I cut you off. I'm so creative, I could easily do that.
Yeah, and there's something screwy going on with my phone here, too. I'm hearing you both through the earpiece and through the speakerphone, but you guys can hear me okay, right?
Yeah. Is there something we can do? I might have hit you twice on one line or the other. No? Okay.
But I think you're right, Ian, that every person is creative and that everybody has this creative gift. And if you go back to what you said earlier, you know, what we try to do is make people fit in. You know, this is your job. This is what you have to do. And think about what we do to kids in school.
You may have to fit in certain environments, but I think the message needs to be there that even if you are in a job that uses only some of your muscles and not all of those muscles, you owe it to yourself to try to use as many of your muscles as you possibly can, even if it's outside the job. Where is it written that it all has to be used on the job?
And that's what I think our advice to mayors is, that actually the kind of places people prefer and are migrating to and paying through the nose to live in are precisely those kind of places that they feel that they can exercise and be all parts of themselves, that they no longer have to be that one-dimensional corporate person, you know, who goes to the job, goes to the corporate suburb, goes to the corporate country club, sends their kids to the high school with all the other corporate execs' kids, that if you're a gay person, a straight person, a young person, a black person, a lesbian minority person, a young woman professional, a person with kids, you can live in a place, and whatever your thing is, if you like rowing, if you like cycling, if you like skiing, if you like thinking, if you like reading, if you like all of those things, if you want to be a DJ, you can feel that you can. Let me tell you what somebody said to me. So a guy grew up in St. Louis. He said, I could never reinvent myself in St. Louis. I always had to be the person that I was born into my family. I moved to Seattle, and I can reinvent myself every other week. And I think that's what the great cities do. They allow people to reinvent and explore and exercise all of those creative muscles.
And they reward the creativity. But I think you're in a country that has a mistrust of creativity in the same way that it has a mistrust of sex. It uses sex to sell you everything. But you can't buy sex legally except for a few counties in Nevada. because we've never gotten it right about sex. Either we're in times of sexual anorexia. In the Bay Area, you'll appreciate this, food has replaced sex. As sex. Food is the sex of San Francisco. It's ground zero for foodies. But in a business, businesses, I think, have traditionally as much lip service as they pay to creativity, as much individual understanding there is of the value of creativity, they're really frightened by it. And I think as a country, a Puritan-based country, we are mistrustful of creativity, even though, look at California, what, fourth or fifth largest economy on the planet, one of its biggest businesses is the movie business, the film business, an international business worth zillions and zillions of dollars based on creativity, or some critics might say lack of. Talk about the mistrust that business has, that American business has for creativity, even though it makes businesses thrive.
Well, I have the new study that just came out, and folks who are listening in can get it on our website, creativeclass.org. It's a study of benchmarking the United States against Europe, and we benchmark a creativity index, not just for regions, but the United States against 14 European countries. And you know what? We used to think the United States was the great creative center, and it did, because it attracted creative people from all over the world, but you know what? A lot of countries have caught up. In that ranking, we came out second.
Who's number one? Sweden is number one. And where? And what? Who was number three, four? Give us those
Finland,
senses.
Denmark, Netherlands all did very, very well, with Ireland coming up like crazy. And I'll tell you, one of the things that's happened in our country is that our edge in creativity, we think we're the great hyperpower, superpower. These other countries have wisened up. And just the Canadians to our north in Vancouver and Toronto are actively going after people from all over the world who have this creative energy. But so by no means do we have the lock on this. And in fact, I think that there's this great battle going on in the world. And I see it, I think you said it very nicely. It's a battle between creativity and control. And the places that want to go back to the old controlled economy, the old organizational mandates, are losing, and the places that are trying to harness creative energy are winning. And the only other thing I want to say about the United States, which is really frightening, is that we actually have two countries. We have a country that is moving along this creative economy very nicely, and that country is called Denver, San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, Atlanta, Washington, D.C. And then we have another country that's terrified of this, and is saying, no, put the brakes on it. And I think the signal issue, and I don't want to go off on a political angle, but I think the signal issue on this is who's for gay rights and who's not. I mean, if you know, there was a great article in the Detroit News this morning by a columnist named Laura Berman who said, the mayor of Detroit should come out in favor of gay marriage. Look at what Gavin Newsom has done in San Francisco. And guess what? San Francisco has long been one of the creative centers in the world, and Detroit was just named to a list of incredibly shrinking cities. Look at the difference between Massachusetts, which was first on our indicators of creativity and innovation and economic growth, which is saying yes to gay rights, and Ohio, which is saying, no, if you're a gay person, please don't come here. We've seen articles in the Cincinnati and Cleveland papers that say this is already costing Ohio money because companies are saying we won't locate there because we can't recruit.
Well, I know a little bit about Detroit. I went to school in Ann Arbor, and I am from Michigan originally, so I know what has happened to Detroit and cities like Detroit. But I think one of the things that you need for creativity to flourish is time. I just got back from Italy, and I was struck by just watching people relate to each other on the street. And I was in Venice, and it was cold, but magical. And just watch, and a shrinking population, because they too are in grave danger of becoming a theme park. But watching people relate to each other as they walk arm in arm, there's an ease. There is still time. Friendship is time intensive. To be creative requires a less busyness than we as a society have accustomed to. And it reminded me of an earlier time in America where it was easier, where there was a little more leisure, where all these machines were supposed to give us more free time, not less. Some of these machines that are supposed to make our lives easier have, in fact, enslaved us. So it seems to me that we are so busy, you have the women's magazines now admonishing their readers to pencil in sex with their beloved, lest they forget about it altogether. So talk about the time pressures that work mitigate against creative expression.
I do talk about this in the book. I call it the time warp. And in the new article, The Creative Class War, also on the website creativeclass.org, I go into this. But let me give you an example, which I think may help your listeners even understand this better. Last year, I was in New Zealand, and I got to spend a day with Peter Jackson, who's going to win the Oscar for Best Director and made those marvelous Lord of the Rings films. And Peter was talking about how he was able to build the world's most innovative film complex, not in Hollywood. He built it in Wellington, New Zealand, a small little hamlet of 900,000 people at the end of the earth in New Zealand. And he's able to have the best designers and cinematographers and best computer modelers and the best people in the world, and he's now going to make King Kong there. How do you do that? How do you lift that out of Hollywood and move it to New Zealand? He said, you can't make a movie like this in Los Angeles anymore because people are too distracted. They're too busy. They're too focused on surviving, on making their mortgage payment, and on trying to get from their house through traffic to their job and pick up their kids and go from here to there to daycare to this to that and the other thing. They're so consumed with time, and they have no time that they have no lives and they can't be creative. He said, in Wellington, life is simple. We have a beautiful, organic place. People have time. They can reflect. When they come here, I get their creative energy. And we don't just get these hyperactive, super money-making types. We get people for their true range of creativity. I think that's a metaphor for what's happening to this country. And I'm scared, quite frankly. I think this whole idea that we're the world leader, that we're the hyperpower, that we run the world, that we're an empire, it's a bunch of BS.
It is, and I think we're over it, too. I think we're on a huge...
In what area do we dominate the world? The Finns compete in cell phones. We have people competing in semiconductors. In flat panel displays, they're made in Asia. Movies are moving to New Zealand and Australia. The Canadians compete in filmmaking. Look at music. We used to dominate the music business. Now there are bands from all over the world, and you know we've got Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake. The point, Harry Potter, the leading books are produced by a British author. I mean, that's not to say we still are the world leader. We're the world leader in egotism and militaristic posturing. and for the first time, and the point is, for the first time in U.S. history, we are finding other countries have gotten smart to our game, and they're saying, we want to compete for these people. You know, all the bright software engineers and developers and artists and culturally creative people for 100 years said they wanted to come to the United States, the world's best scientists going to the University of Colorado and Harvard and MIT. Now, other countries are saying, we want them at Oxford, the University of Toronto. We want them at great institutes in Europe. And in our country, you know what we're saying? We don't want you. We're so concerned about homeland security and potential terrorism.
That's right. We're going to fingerprint you.
In U.S. modern history, we have a reduction of some 50,000 visa applications by foreign scientists. foreign people are saying, we'd rather go to Australia, New Zealand, Europe, the United Kingdom, and Canada than come to the United States because your country looks a little goofy to us. This is abjectly terrifying to me, because if we lose this source of creative energy, the world's best and the brightest, that's far worse than losing a couple of automotive plant jobs or even outsourcing some software development. That's really the lifeblood of our economic future.
Richard Florida, I'm delighted that you could join us today. The book is called The Rise of the Creative Class and How It's Transforming Work, Leisure, Community, and Everyday Life. We should all read it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for folks for listening, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:40, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Katie Nida, a former University of Colorado place kicker, says she was raped while playing for CU in 1999. Nida, who is now at the University of New Mexico, says a fellow player raped her. She says she also had to endure vulgar slurs and groping from some teammates. CU President Elizabeth Hoffman is holding a press conference on the allegations at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Just one day after being appointed to the investigative panel looking into the allegations surrounding the CU football recruiting program, one member has resigned. Kenneth Vardell, a former FBI employee, resigned after Regents learned that he had administered a polygraph test to a player who was at the 2001 recruiting party that has sparked the scandal at the school. Littleton police plan to file first-degree murder charges against Gregory Parker for the murder of his wife over the weekend. Parker was arrested in New Mexico and could be back in Colorado as soon as today. Police aren't sure yet about the motive for the murder, but they suspect that an argument preceded the killing. In sports, the Denver Nuggets welcome the Philadelphia 76ers to the Pepsi Center tonight. In December, the last time they played, the Nuggets topped the Sixers. Head to Albertson's Rock Bottom Rotisserie every Tuesday from 4 to 7 p.m. Choose from a jumbo chicken to barbecue, leg quarters, and more, all at rock bottom prices. Albertson's, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:42.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides
on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence from the big guys. I'm switching my internet access to ProLinks.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from 10 feet away, even with a driver.
Well, you said ProLinks, though, didn't you?
ProLinks isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLinks.
Well, that's because they're local, right here in Denver, and they don't spend billions of dollars on advertising. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the huge megapolis, but without the long hold times, poor service, and annoying Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, but is their connection fast?
Sure, their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access just for signing up.
Well, that settles it then. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get hooked up?
Just give them a call at 303-972-3218, and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Call them and mention this ad so you can be sure to get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free, and you'll be glad you did. That number again is 303-972-3218.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included, not available in all areas.
KNRC News Time is 2:43. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Subway. Southbound I-25 at Spears, a real mess. They had a bit of an accident involving a car, a truck, and the bridge there at Spears. So watch for that. There's going to be some major delays as they take a look at that bridge and make sure that it's okay. Everything else is, it's tight, but looking pretty good right now. We do have a bit of a problem at Wadsworth and 8th due to a water main break. Start the year by eating and feeling good at Subway. Try Subway's new Atkins-friendly carb-controlled wraps. Savor the flavor of the turkey bacon melt or chicken bacon ranch Atkins-friendly wraps now at Subway. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the mornings beginning at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mild temperatures for the Denver area over the next couple of days, but then toward the end of the week with another storm system, those numbers will take a tumble. Mostly sunny today with a high right around 54, 36 for the low tonight. A mix of sun and clouds, mid-60s tomorrow. Then the rain and snow moves in. Expected in the morning on Thursday with highs in the upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 61 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:45. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 303-754-4911 and get a loan package custom-tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive. So start your 2004 off right and call them now at 303-754-4911 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. So call 303-754-4911 or toll free at 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes opened the holiday shortened trading week on a high note, thanks in part to the cold weather, which sparked a better-than-expected report on industrial production. The Dow Industrials rose 87 points to 10,715. The Nasdaq gained 27 points to 2080. The S&P 500 added 11 points to 1157. Big board volume is about 1.4 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by nearly 3-to-1 margin. AT&T Wireless was easily the day's busiest stock, jumping 16.5%. Singular Wireless is buying its rival in a nearly $41 billion deal. The new company will maintain the Singular name. Singular's parents, SBC Communications and Bell South, both closed lower. Caterpillar provided the Dow's biggest push, rising $2.10 a share. North American dealer machine sales jumped 27% in the past 3 months. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Enid Goldstein, weekdays at noon.
Things we women have to do for these kids.
I don't always agree, but I always listen.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:47 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, you missed Richard Florida, The Rise of the Creative Class, but I think we're going to try and put this up on the website. Let's do it. I think what he has to say is so interesting because creativity to me is really important, and I'm seeing a decline of it everywhere. I haven't been able to find a book lately that I think is that's not true. It's an exaggeration to say it, but it's hard to find a book that's worth your time. Some of them are fun to read just because their mysteries are fun, and I love the Donna Leon mysteries because they're set in Venice, but they're not anything like high literature, something that really just shakes you, grabs you, changes your life. Fabulous writing. There's very little of that around. There's very little fabulous television. There's very little fabulous music. I love The Sopranos. I mean, I could watch that, and although they're not, when are they going to start their new season? In March, maybe? In March, maybe. Okay, I'm marching to my television set when they do that. But otherwise, I have 80 million channels. I get this satellite, whatever, and there's nothing to watch most of the time. 303-382-1150, so I revere creativity. It is not given the place that it ought to be given. It is used always in the service of commerce, very often in the service of commerce, and then in that way, it is... I don't know, it's ossified as a result. Not that you shouldn't use it in the service of commerce, but if only in the service of commerce, then you just ossify that creativity. And we should be encouraging it in our kids, in our schools, in our universities, in daily life. Think about ways to make life more creative, because when you do that, you make it more loving, you make it more open, you make it more rewarding, it has more meaning, and much more can occur as a result of it. Preston calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston.
I actually know of a website that lists exactly the sort of thing your guest was talking about. It's called DenverEvolution.org.
Uh-huh.
And whenever I go to it, I'm amazed by how many film festivals and art showings and concerts and lectures and Buddhist retreats and on and on and on that are going on. In fact, this evening, one of what the Washington Post calls one of the world's leading thinkers, Lester Brown, will be speaking at the University of Colorado. And it's really kind of sad to see this, you know, kind of the scandal taking up so much space when there are so many great things going on at what he said are world-class institutions. I mean, there's so much more than the sporting.
Is CU really a world-class institution? It's a party school. It's a good school. It attracts a lot of creative students. But I don't know. Am I being a snob-o-matic to say I'm not so sure CU is in the same class as Stanford? I don't know if it's in the same class as my old school, University of Michigan.
Well, I don't know. In some fields, I think
what fields is it really preeminent?
I think in some of their natural sciences.
Okay.
I know CSU, their agriculture and vet medicine, the veterinary school at CSU is world class. I know that. The School of Mines.
Right.
A lot of people are going there. And CU, like natural sciences, and I think some other fields as well.
Well, it's trying to be preeminent in football. look at what's happening there.
And they had
certainly preeminent in sexual scandals in the football recruiting program.
You know, they had 700 people at that university for a sustainable resources conference from something like 80 countries. Didn't hear a word about it in the media. I mean, and that's another field that people are going to be making a lot of money in these efficiency measures and, you know, hybrid cars. They're coming out of Japan mostly, and the solar panels are coming out of Germany, and the windmills are coming out of Denmark. You know, these are things we could be catching up in. And Democrats and Republicans are alike are starting to turn on to groups like the Apollo Alliance, businesses and government, concerned citizens coming together to see where the future is at.
Well, one of the things I like about Denver is there is, if you want to build anything here, you have to contribute in terms of public art in some way. So there's a requirement that there has to be a certain amount of public art given whatever is being built. And I like that a lot, so that you see more of it in Denver. Some of it we like, some of it we don't like. I love those dancers, even though some people think they're really kitschy in front of the Arts Center. So I would like to see. I don't know if you could consider Denver a center for artists. I don't know that you could consider it a center for writers, even though we do have artists here and even though we do have writers. I think it more of the sustainable kinds of things that you're talking about, the environmental kinds of issues. I think we see more of that here, I would say, than I see references to artists and writers, but maybe I'm not evaluating it correctly, Preston.
Well, and one last thing. Boulder was one of the leaders in the organic food grocery chain movement. Wild Oats started in Boulder. The other city was Austin that started the Whole Foods.
Whole Foods, yeah.
But now Wild Oats has, 130 stores around the country, and their stock has gone up 50% since the mad cow scare.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's a lot of good stuff going on here.
Thanks, Preston. I appreciate your call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Don't forget Naropa Institute in Boulder. I studied poetry with Allen Ginsberg there for a whole summer once. And there were a lot of things going on there. And they were attracting a lot of big-name people. And it was a great creative explosion when it got started originally. Now, I don't know what's going on lately, but that was Boulder was always a wonderful place. And then don't forget about the mountains if you like to ski, if you like the outdoor view. There's always Vail, there's Aspen, there's Breckenridge, there's there are all kinds of places to do. So there's so much going on in this area. In that sense, I agree with Richard Florida. But I haven't seen the emphasis here on writing artists. There are writers, there are artists, there is theater. But I think somehow they get subsumed to whatever larger Denver is about. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I'd love to hear from you on it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC. Or Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNIC.
Listen up, men. Insight, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement, powers into 2004 as a NASCAR team sponsor. And now, while supplies last, Team Insight is giving away free 30-day samples. To get a free 30-day sample box, just log on to 4insight.com. That's the number 4, E-N-Z-Y-T-E.com. Or call 1-800-778-5290. Look for the number 50 car and experience natural male enhancement with a free sample box of Insight. Call 1-800-778-5290. 1-800-778-5290.
NBC Tonight, a special Tuesday Fear Factor.
Wow.
And it's not just all new, it's supersized.
Here we go!
Four extreme stunts.
Oh.
Packed into one outrageous,
yucky,
all new Tuesday Fear Factor.
Oh my God!
Then, Michael J. Fox is back for a second remarkable performance on an all new supersized Scrubs.
Exactly.
What a night. All new special Tuesday Fear Factor. Michael J. Fox on Scrubs and all new Law & Order SVU. NBC Tonight.
In the spring of 1954, an unidentified woman was found murdered in Boulder Canyon. Nearly 50 years later, the police still have no idea who this woman was or who ended her life. Police technology has come a long way since 1954 and could possibly shed some light on this cold case, but we need your help. The Boulder History Museum has set up a Jane Doe Fund to pay for DNA tests and other procedures. You can help with your tax-deductible donation to the Jane Doe Fund. Contact the Boulder History Museum at 303-449-3464 or check out BoulderJaneDoe.com for more information. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot at-home services. Visit your local store today for more information. The Home Depot at-home services. Installation you can trust.
The Colorado Association of Nonprofit Organizations recognizes the valuable people who donate their time to our nonprofits. Celebrate Colorado Nonprofit Week by joining CAMPO at their annual luncheon at the Adams Mark Hotel on Friday, March 5th as they honor this year's award winners. Sponsor a table for your organization or purchase individual tickets by going to www.campo.org. Support CAMPO on Friday, March 5th and celebrate the hope that Colorado nonprofits generate throughout the year. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:57 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Yours for just about three more minutes, and then Doug Kellett takes over from 3 to 6, 6 to 9. Michael Reagan, start your day with Jimmy Lakey from 6A to 10A. Bill O'Reilly, 10 to noon, noon to 3, me, and so on. The schedule goes forward. If you're just tuning in, you missed Richard Florida, the rise of the creative class. What would make your life more creative, and how could Denver be more creative? We ought to talk about that. How Denver, if you were waving a magic wand, how you would make Denver a more livable city. It's a very livable city. I like it a lot. You can walk the downtown area. That's one of the things I really love about it, because our studios here are in glorious Lodo, and you can walk from the studio to restaurants. In fact, all you have to do is walk downstairs to the old spaghetti factory, fondly referred to as the Grease Palace, and get whatever you want. But you can walk to the comedy clubs, the music, restaurants, nightclubs, everything, the shops, the mall where the shuttle is going. I mean, all of that is just wonderful. You can walk to the press club, the Denver Press Club, various athletic facilities downtown. It's a very livable city in that respect. And again, as Richard Florida put it, if you're living in the outlying areas, why, it's good for families. Has anybody been watching The Apprentice show with Donald Trump? I have never seen a hairdo like that in my life. I don't know. Comb over doesn't even begin to cover the dimensions of that hair. He doesn't have much left. And what he has is long and skanky and skinny and probably a little bit dyed, and it's just weird. This is the worst comb-over. I mean, this is like he's got to grow his eyebrows long and comb them back, kind of a comb-over. Very bad. Does anybody want to comment about that? Is he still that hot? The show's been renewed, so I guess it's getting a lot of viewership, and of course everybody wants to be rich. If all you want to be is rich and money's the bottom line, how does that inhibit creativity? That's a really good question, isn't it? I think it inhibits, it can spur it, but it also can act as a huge inhibitor. We'll talk about that as we continue in our show tomorrow, noon to 3. Join me for lunch. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for producing a fine show today. Thank you, Jordan Louse, for keeping this fine show on the air and keeping us up and running. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Let's have lunch tomorrow, noon to 3. I'll turn you on if you turn me on. Otherwise, it won't work that way. Do something generous. Try to be more creative in your life. Think about ways you can do this. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Clean up something that's really a mess in your life, even if it's a small thing. Doug Kellett up next. I'll see you tomorrow at noon.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by HP Business Printers. CU President Elizabeth Hoffman and CU Boulder Chancellor Richard Binney are both shocked and deeply disturbed about the claims of Katie Nida. The former CU place kicker says in the upcoming issue of Sports Illustrated that she was raped by a teammate at CU in 1999. That claim came to light this morning on the magazine's website. Hoffman and Binney will hold a press conference on the latest rape claim at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Meanwhile, one of the members appointed yesterday to the independent investigative panel that is looking into the allegations of sex and alcohol being used as recruiting tools by the football program at the school has resigned. Kenneth Vardell, a former FBI employee, resigned when Regents learned that he had administered a polygraph test to one of the players who attended the 2001 recruiting party, which has sparked the allegations regarding the football recruiting program. A Denver federal appeals court has upheld the national Do Not Call list. In addition to the federal list, Colorado has one of its own, spearheaded by State Attorney General Ken Salazar. Deputy AG Ken Lane says the appeals court did the right thing.
That ruling does not address Colorado's own no-call law. The same principles and issues exist in that case. And therefore, Attorney General Salazar is very optimistic that the federal district